We are Brightside Home Theater.
Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights. Where's the sounds, the scenes? The sounds and scenes are delayed today, everybody. Sorry about that. We had a little snafu with time zone situation. So I'll let everybody in on what's going on back here. I'm sitting here waiting. Steve and I, we always communicate with the times are always, okay, I'll be on at 3:30, and then everybody knows who's saying what. We don't go back and forth with, okay, your time, my time, this, that. We all know each other's time zones. So earlier today, I was like, all right, 3:30, I'll be ready to go. I'll be on there getting ready for the 4 o'clock, you know, show. And so, so I'm sitting there, I sat down, I was here at like 3 o'clock getting my, thumbnails ready, getting all the show prep and stuff. And, the way the studio works is I email them out in the middle of the day. They can jump on at any time and check it out and come in. So I was expecting to see Steve. So 3:30 comes along, no problem. John is going to be delayed today because of work. So we knew that going in. So I was assuming where I wasn't seeing Steve, I was assuming that Steve was like, okay, well, so we're delayed, so I'll take my, you know, he'll take his time. So 4 o'clock comes around and it's like 4:11, and he's texting me right now, he's jumping on in 5. So he goes, I like 4:11. I go, yeah, I'm sitting here in the studio, waiting to join. And he goes, yeah, I'll be joining at like 3:30. No big deal. And he's like doing some stuff right now. And I'm like, and I went, oh no. Oh my God. So here in Massachusetts, in our time zone, we set our clocks ahead on Saturday. Apparently, they didn't do that over in Europe. They don't do that over there. So he was assuming the 3:30. Now, we were assuming it's a 5-hour difference. Apparently, it's not anymore. So Steve's hurrying up to get his stuff done so that he can jump on with me right now. John is got a delay anyways, so he'll be joining us shortly. So that's the show. I figured I'd get on anyways because people were waiting. So thank you, everybody, for waiting patiently. But that's what happens. You know, hey, technology shrinks the world, but hey, we all still... we're all still idiots. I got a question here. People are dying to know. I tweeted out earlier this week, Mike Schramm, Johnny Speakers, already dying to know, how does the SVS speakers compare to my NHTs? So earlier this week, or over the weekend, I tweeted out the boxes were delivered. I got an SVS Ultra Center, SVS Ultra Bookshelves. That's going to be my front stage. And I got some SVS Prime bookshelves for the back. Prime satellites, called, for the rear channels. And a couple of things I want to do with the... let's start in the back of the room with the Prime satellites. So what I'd like to do is I want to actually compare those to my NHTs, which I have as rears right now. I have NHTs all the way around. The rear four are NHT Super Zeros. And so I'm going to replace the side ones with SVS. And I want to see how that sounds. And I can actually AB back and forth with some pink noise, with different, with voices and different scenes and stuff, and see how the sound compares going to the two of them. And just to see if there's any tonal difference. The front stage, what I want to do is I really want to AB a bunch of scenes, and I've been building, you know, my library forever, but with a bunch of sound scenes, obviously Star Wars and stuff. But to do that, This is where I wanted to get everybody in. I wanted to talk to John and Steve about this as well, but people are dying to know. I haven't even unboxed the speakers yet because I want to do this right. I am not in a hurry. And what I want to let you guys know is the process that I'm about to take. It's not just the SVSs. Okay. So, I have it in my notes here. I've picked out a few pairs and oh, here he is right now. Let's have him join in. There he is. How we doing, buddy?
Yeah, good. Sorry about that. I didn't realize your clocks had gone. Your clocks had gone forward.
I know. Nobody knew. I didn't. Yeah, it was just stupidity. I should have said something earlier today. I should have been like, oh, I didn't. It didn't even dawn on me until you said like what time it was. You're like, oh yeah, I'll be joining at 3:30, and I'm like, So that was funny. I was just telling the listeners about my plans for my SVS speakers that I tweeted out. And nice. So I'm trying to go through my plan here for everything that I'm going to do. Where's my list of new speaker choices? There they are. So first up on the docket are the SVSs. So I need to build my speaker stands so that I can place these exactly where they would be in relation to in the new room, and also compare them to the speakers that I have now. So what I want to do, I'm going to build three speaker stands for the front, lower one, obviously, for the center channel to go under the screen. And then I want to be able to A/B these as quickly as possible. And I've had, at first I was going to use this switcher that I heard about on HT Guys. But now I'm thinking there might be an easier, quicker way where I just go boom, 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 and I go across the front. It'll literally take me like 40 seconds to go across the front of the room and switch out some speaker while I just pop it in. And then be able to really A/B and, you know, take in some scenes and go back and forth, because what's going to happen is that we're going to have a bunch of face-offs and kind of like March Madness bracket, but this is going to take a little while to do. And I also want to experience these speakers for like a month on their own, you know, to get a feel for them. So my NHTs are going to go up against the SVSs. I've been dying to learn the difference in those anyways. And then whichever I prefer out of the two of those will go up against, let me see. I think I have a Focal Aria 900 line on deck next. I think that's the one. Yes. Focal Aria 900s across the front. Same idea. Bookshelves across the front. They also have a center channel. So that will be next. Then whichever one wins out of that will go up against the KEF R3s. And so these are the three that I'm looking at that from all my research and everything without hearing them, obviously, in my room, but are pretty much kind of what I'm looking for. So different price ranges. I think the Focals are relatively the same, maybe a little bit more than the SVSs. And then the KEFs are even more. I think they're quite substantially more, actually. Like, not double, but a little bit more. So it'll be interesting to hear the difference in all of them. And then as they go up against it, like, which ones do I prefer in that range, and see, you know. And this is how I'm making my choice for the next theater. Right now, these will now. The other thing is like, okay, as I go, it's like, okay, now I'll put the SVS, say the SVSs win, I'll have to replace the NHTs in that in my system now, and then go on to the next round and then go from there. Now, do I keep going in this theater with whatever, which one wins until I move? You know, I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, that's the big plan. And I don't want to rush it. I am super busy right now. It's like every spare moment I get, if I can get a few minutes, I like to sit in my theater and watch stuff for the show. I like to relax a little bit. But then on top of that, we're trying to get my daughter's house done, and I'm doing a lot of the construction for her. So running into like this whole past weekend was like, get up, go to my daughter's house, work all day, and then come home. And same any off hours, I try to go there and do that. So, yeah. So I don't really have a lot of time to build speaker stands and stuff yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. So, Johnny Speakers is saying, I was going to say the Kefs are definitely a step up in price. Yeah, it's I don't remember off the top of my head, but I want to say they were like $1,400 a piece. And then I think the SVSs were like the center channel was like $8. And then I think the ones on either side are they're $7 or vice something like the $6.99 and then $7.99 is what those were. But then the Kefs are a little bit, you know, I don't think they're maybe the center channel was $1,400. I think the Kefs were the one where the center channel was actually a little cheaper than the left and the right. Something like that, which is unusual. Most of the time people charge more for their center channel. So, but I wanted to have that little bit of a jump in price and see if I noticed a difference. If I noticed like, okay, that's worth it. Let's see how that goes because I know SVSs are supposed to be really, and same with NHTs. That's why I think this is a good comparison all the way around. NHT and SVS are supposed to be, good, value. For what you get, it's really hard to beat something like that. You'd have to go to, from everything I've heard, you'd have to go to like 2000 plus to get a different, to actually beat these things out. So it'll be fun. It's going to be fun. And it's my new theater will have, you know, everything, the research will have been done. So, and we're going to get to go through it. I'm going to do videos on it and I'm going to do, somebody asked me on Twitter if I'm going to do an unboxing and, I don't do unboxings. I don't understand those. I've never been a fan of them. I get it. People like it, but I'm not a big fan of it. So I don't do unboxings. Do you watch a lot of unboxings, Steve?
not generally.
Boxes out for God's sakes, or store them.
Yeah, I store them. Yeah, it would have to be something pretty, you know, very, very special, something that I'm desperate to get to watch somebody else enjoying opening it, and I can't. I think there's a time and a place.
Right. Yeah. I never understand. I guess it's a big thing with kids. Like little kids have YouTube channels that just unbox stuff and like other kids just watch it. And it must be that, like, I don't know, jealousy button, envy button. It's triggering for people. They're just like, oh, wow. I'm like, watch this, everybody. And they take it out of the box and show it to you. Mm. But like, all right, now.
Okay, what you don't have.
Yeah, exactly. Or even if you do have it, you're like, yeah, it looks just like mine. Like, it's like, you know, I've seen advertisement, not advertisement, but you scroll by them and like unboxing my new speakers or unboxing my new projector or unboxing my receiver. They all do something else other than just sit there, right? So it's like, I mean, unboxing, if you were like, I'm going to unbox my Mona Lisa that I just bought. Well, that's a painting. That's something you can actually see. That translates to video. Like unboxing my speaker. Are you going to connect it? No, I'm just going to show it to you.
Just going
to
stare at it.
I never understood that. So
no. Can I ask you this? Because I think Todd asked you as well. And forgive me if you've already mentioned it before I came in. Just curious. Mm-hmm. Why is it going to be bookshelf speakers for the new place, no matter what? Or is there any reason why no floor standards? Just curious, bearing in mind.
No. Great. It's a great question. It's a great question because, I was considering, I still do want, floor standing, but from what I understand especially with the SVS, they have those side firing subwoofers. Where the proximity to the wall, because of my screen, they're going to be so close to the wall on the sides, it wouldn't sound right. And you're not going to get any benefit out of that. So, and especially in this room where I'm going to be running four subwoofers anyways, the only reason I want floor standing is I want the looks. I just want to see those on the side. But I'm really not going to be utilizing any more than what the bookshelf offers in any of these. right?
Yeah.
So why spend the money? Maybe someday I'll upgrade to something on the side. I don't know, but I have no issues whatsoever with bookshelves. Nobody should have an issue with bookshelves if you're running subs in your room to be able to, you're going to get the full frequency range. And, you know, it's just, to me, in my room, the floor standards, it's just aesthetics. It's just how cool they would look. But then I'm also putting them behind a wall. So you're not even going to see them unless I put the lights on behind the wall, which I do want to be able to do and show people my speakers. Let's see, Joni Speakers. Oh, Ascend Sierra's here. Oh, okay. So sounds like fun. What did he say? Johnny Speaker says, I'd love for DJ to try some Ascend Sierra series. Yeah, what's the price on those? And then Dan says, I've had the SVS and the KEF, and I ended up with Arendal. Arendal?
Pretty sure that's a character in Lord of the Rings, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole on these things endlessly.
Exactly. And I think
eventually you're already doing what you should be doing, which is try it yourself, see what you like. If you like it, buy it.
Right.
That's you're already doing that. I mean, otherwise you will never decide, because someone will always say, I prefer that to this. And, you know, we've talked about it before. You'll never ever get to where you want to go.
No, I know. And that's this, Johnny Speaker says there, the bookshelves are $1,500 a pair. Well, that's not bad. The bookshelf, that's $750 a speaker. I can do the quick math. So yeah, that's not bad. And that's for the Ascend Sierra. So that's not bad. That's right in the same price range, but exactly what you were saying, it's a rabbit hole, you know? And that's why I'm like, I've got my three here. You know, maybe these Ascends here, but there's always somebody that can, there's always something somebody could add in to make me be like, all right, I'll try those next and I'll try the, and then you're always there. I've had my NHTs for almost 30 years. Can you believe that? Since like 95. So we're coming up on 30 years. I've had these things and they'll still be, I changed the fronts just recently to the C series, but before that I had the Super Ones, which are the larger version. And when I, in my first theater, I had, not my first theater, but my first projector, I had an acoustically transparent screen, and we talked about this online. I had three of the exact same speakers all the way across, and they were, the Super Ones stacked vertically behind the screen. And that was my front stage. Then when I went with a standard screen, I had to get the NHT center channel, but it wasn't the C series. It was the step down from that. And then I upgraded from there. So NHTs has been for a long, long time. So this should be fun. And it's, you know, you're going to have to, I mean, in my house, the NHTs are king. So you're going to come in, and if you're going to knock off the champion, you're going to come in with something good. So we'll see if SVS is up to the task.
It's likely to be, isn't it? It's got to be, surely.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, they're very similar. They have a few differences to them, but they even look the same. They have the similar, like the C series. They even have they're not perfectly square. They have the shaved corners on the front. They gloss black. I got the same. So I don't know. Maybe I'm sure once I do the videos and stuff, I'll have the comparison of them. But they're very similar in size. They're very similar. I think the SVSs have an aluminum. As you would say.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. I can speak your language. I think they
You're
have
correcting yourself before I do tweeter. It. Now.
Yeah. the SVXs have the aluminum dome tweeter, and NHTs don't. I can't remember what what it is, but it's not aluminium or aluminum. So
I mean, you know, you're talking to the right person if you're talking about, you know, you want them all to look the same, aesthetically pleasing. I mean, you know, I couldn't have anything else. You know, all mine are identical apart from the center, which is just the bigger version of all the others.
Right.
And I, you know, and again, you know, there's me saying about floor standards, mine are on the wall. You know, all of mine are up on the walls, and yet you know, I they sound great, although they're meant to be on the wall, to be fair. So they're the way that they are set and designed is to go on the wall.
Right.
So I get that. And you're putting them into the wall, aren't you? You're going to recess them or put them behind the wall in the new place, aren't you? Including the rears and the surrounds.
Oh, the rears will definitely be hidden because that's got a 2 foot false wall in the back as well.
Okay. So little hole for them and. They'll go flush.
Not even. It's going to be the front wall and the back wall are going to be all speaker cloth, front and rear. Okay, false wall, and then everything will go behind that. So I'll have subs back there on the front and the rear. I'll be able to set my speakers wherever I want back there. It's going to be a 2 foot gap between the actual wall and then this wall. So I'll be able to put anything I want back there and place it accordingly. And then on the side walls, yes, they will be recessed within the wall, also behind speaker cloth. And then those will also be all filled with insulation for sound dampening and sound absorption for within the room. But it's so I'm narrowing down the room. That's for sure. Getting closer and closer to what I'm going to actually have to work with for a size. And so I'm able to design that. And now it's just the depth that I'll be able to use on the sides, and do I have to pop it out a little bit more where the speakers are and stuff like that. So yeah, I've got some ideas, but it's fun. But yes, yeah. I love the stealth look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Well, it's cool when the lights are out, it's all just going to be black and that,
yeah, you
know, it's just going to be the screen, which again is what I like in mine. Love when you turn the lights out, that's it. It's gone. You've just got the screen and you. And you can just lose yourself in that image, which is what's so cool about it. So yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Carl is saying hello, by the way, and thing from he's in line at South by Southwest for a Cheech Martin interview.
Carl, so, it hasn't shown up on my.
At 8:35, my time, not your time.
Yeah.
They said we're listening whilst in line for a Cheech Martin interview. Say hi to Cheech.
Oh, there it is. Carl. Yeah, there we go. I found it. We are listening. That's funny.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. So say hi to him for us.
There you go. All right. So that's the SVS update. I know everybody's really looking forward to what I am about, you know, what I'm about to get into. That's one of the things that I wanted to say too. It's funny is, it's that people always are just like, What do you think? Because they have them, or it's like, am I right in having them too? Yes. And it's like, you know, or even if I don't like them, right? What is that? What's going to happen? Are people going to be like, oh no. Everybody's different. Don't worry about it. That's why there's so many different speaker brands out there. Everybody's ear is different. Everybody's room acoustics are different. There's no right or wrong answer, but it's just funny that it's like, oh, okay, whew, I'm right. I just want to make sure I'm right too.
There was an entire industry based around that, DJ.
Oh,
in fact, industries. I think just about any aspirational industry has that, doesn't that? You know, whether it's the new car, the new, you know, whatever it might be, if it's a consumer product, the idea of, is mine good? You know, do other people feel that my purchase is validated or validate my purchase? So,
right.
Yeah, it's how it is. It's just human nature.
It is. It is, because we're creatures of habit, but we're also pack animals. Right. Like, that's why we get along so well with dogs, and we're pack animals. So we need to be appreciated by the pack. Right. And it's like, if I'm doing so, oh, here we go. Here we go.
John coming in.
I think so. I don't have an image. There he is.
Hey, John.
We are live. I just got to let you know that right up front. Okay. I know how you can be.
I mean, you could just throw me in the deep end and let me learn how to swim.
Oh, okay. So, John, what do you think about that?
I think what you said was dead on, and what DJ said was crazy.
Oh, he's accurate.
He has been listening.
Was that right?
Yeah, yeah, go.
All right.
All right. Well, perfect timing. All right. So let me, I didn't know when we were going.
That's what I'm known for.
Yeah, it's not what I heard.
Yeah, stop talking to my wife.
Let's see. Where I'm looking for. Oh, man. There we go. All right, let's get to this. We all have the attire on. All right. First and foremost, like this has been a long time coming.
It has.
What's it been like? 2 months?
Oh, at least 6 weeks.
More. Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
tell me, DJ, who are you wearing this evening?
My tailor.
I'm wearing
a Hugh Grant. I can't remember his name.
Can't remember his name, but
I'm wearing Danny Speakers. Yeah. So that's the let's pull that up right here. We could pull it up on the stream here, so you could check it out. This is our T Public page, and if you go to our T Public page, you'll notice right here there's BSHT and a bunch of quotes. We'll click on it in a minute, and it says right down here Danny Speakers T-shirt, and then when you click on it. Okay, there you go. So you can see that. And then say, now we'll get closer on that. BSHT, quote, you pulled the pin, end quote. And these are all quotes, actually. It's like listening to paint dry in Dolby Digital. Only the bright side. Three guys sitting on the bus bench. Ask me about home theater. The sights, the sounds, the scenes, and then our logo. So everything you see here, Danny came up with all by himself. Dan came up with by himself. I added the logo on the bottom. Dan made these, sent one to John, sent two to me. There's still one on the way to Steve. We don't know where that is. In the meantime, I asked him, I said, Dan, can I put these on TeePublic? So I put them on TeePublic. Basically, I just duplicated it and then added the logo at the bottom, which works perfect because he put these in order. And then at the end, it says the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and then the logo, Brightside Home Theater. So we got BSHT T-shirts. The work he did for this is amazing. We were all blown away. And John was so excited.
I was. Are we telling that story?
Do you want to?
Well, let me start off by saying I'm very flattered that everybody seems to think I can wear an extra large because I'm a little bit bigger than that.
You didn't have to say that.
Well, I'm telling the story. Okay. So, yeah, Danny was kind enough to send a shirt, and it was a little snug on me. And so I kind of reached my hands up inside of it to try to just stretch it out a little bit, because it wasn't bad, but it was just a little tight. I was like, well, maybe if I can just loosen it up a little bit, and I pushed my hand right through it. So it was either tighter than I thought, or I ate my spinach that morning. I don't know what happened, but I put a giant hole in it. So I texted DJ. I was like, well, we're out of luck on these shirts, because I've ruined mine. So
That's okay. I had this. I mean, I said to you right away, this is what I was doing. So yeah. we knew that. And I was like, I'll just send you another one. So I sent you this one. So we all have them on today. And as you see, you go on the website, you can get the sweatshirts, you can get the stickers for this, you can get obviously a T-shirt. But yeah, it's really cool. And then obviously you could see we have other things. We have just the regular logo. You can pick your colors. You can do all of this stuff. But the other thing I wanted to let everybody know is I'm hoping Danny started a trend with this. I would love, more.
And everybody else will send us free T-shirts.
No, you don't have to send me a free T-shirt.
Just send me to break.
Yeah.
2X, guys. 2X.
The beauty is you don't have to send me a T-shirt. You could just send me the design and then send me an idea. Send me a design. And we'll make it up and I'll just throw it up here and we'll, and it'll have your name on it. So this is the Danny Speakers t-shirt. You can, like I said, you go there, you click on it, there you go. And then you can choose your color. If you want it in red, there you go. So, but yeah, you, I always put everything in blue. That's what I prefer, but you guys can choose whatever you want. But yeah, it's, I know Johnny Speakers and oh man. Oh, Mike Schramm, Johnny Speakers and Mike Schramm are going to, I forget the name of the place they're going. They were there last year. Johnny Speakers wore his Brightside shirt and he was spotted by SVS. They were like, hey, we know them. And so you can actually get recognized by wearing these out in public now. So that's kind of fun. So yeah, anybody wants to design something, we'll put it up on the website and that'll be fun. So thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Sorry it took so long for us to get this on air, because he did this he did it around Christmas time. We got them shortly after Christmas, something like that, right? Beginning of the year.
Mine arrived today.
we tweeted about it. I literally texted you because I'm like, hey, have you seen anything yet? I didn't know if it could. And then you literally, and then I saw your tweet later. I hadn't even seen the text from you yet. And but yeah, so just showed up, so we're all wearing them today and pretty excited about it.
That's awesome. Thanks Danny, it's very cool. So if you are a budding fashionista and you want your own fashion label, now's your chance, isn't it, really?
Yep, you can end up on TeePublic with your name under your design. So there you go. So sounds like fun. All right, we are all over the place today, running behind. Did you hear, John, why we ended up behind with Steve? Steve, well, no. I forgot
to
tell.
I saw the text about the time change.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like, so I was trying to drive home. Yeah, I was trying to get home from work. But
I thought we changed first. I thought we went first, then you guys. So I didn't even think
when
about
do you change? Because we got to get that right.
Last Sunday of the month. Of this month. Oh, so it's 30th of March, whatever it is.
We used to be that way, but we've since, it was a few years ago, we sped it up. We shortened the gap between November and March. I think we moved it in tighter or something, whatever. But yeah, we're off now.
I don't mind starting early, is all good. I'm in court tomorrow, so it's,
right. It's all good. Well, I still have to be done because I have a hockey meeting tonight at 7 my time. So I still have to be done on time. So we need to cook this along. So let's get to Patreon supporter of the week, Brent Jones, 2 months. Thank you very much. No new patrons, no new donations this week. Still standing strong at $163 for the month. And we will be giving to Haymakers for Hope, Brian Curtis, raising money to fight childhood cancer. So I haven't checked in on his amount yet, but we will be donating our $100 at the end of the month to him. So let's see. Let's do some quick giveaways here. Let me pull that up.
Did anyone claim the cubes? Brock Star's cubes?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. We didn't announce that. Mike Schramm did. Next morning he's like, did anybody claim those yet? And I was like, nope. Not yet. So he grabbed them and I believe they are on their way. I don't know what the total is, but you know, John's paying for the shipping and then Mike's going to make the equivalent donation to us. So that will go towards the monthly total as well. But yeah, John's donating them and paying for the shipping. That way we can benefit from the donation completely. So really, really nice of him to do that. So, but yeah, Mike Schramm should be getting those momentarily, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully they go a little quicker than these t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to England, so you're all good. You're going to rely on the Royal Bloody Mail.
Yeah.
I'll know. Do you know what? I'll know what happened to the other shirt if he turns up and he's wearing the same one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. We have for donation, new
giveaways. Sorry, yep. Mate.
No problem. These are giveaways as well. We have all given from Mark Hader. We have Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, Star Trek, the motion picture, the director's edition, the newest one, and Fantastic Beast and the Secrets of Dumbledore, all to be given. And last week we gave away Hunt for Red October, The War of the Worlds, the newest one, Ambulance, The Batman, and Maverick. So we still have all of those available.
Don't you mean the Oscar-winning Maverick, Deej?
Well, we're going to get to that. But yeah, I do. Yeah, let's get to that right away here. And then we'll get into some tweaks. Yeah. All right. Let's do some Oscar talk. I thought I had some graphics for that, but I don't.
I thought you'd have a sort of sounder of someone being slapped.
No, I could slap myself. I've done that.
Don't do that.
So did anything surprise you here in like the big ones that we were talking about?
Not for me, I don't think. I mean, I think I was a bit surprised that Everything Everywhere All at Once swept the awards as much as they did. Yeah. You know, I could say, I mean, the best supporting actor. I mean, that was Ke-Hai Kwan's all day long. Did you see the picture, by the way, of him when they were young? And did you see that one? Tell me that didn't bring a tear to your eye.
Oh my God. His acceptance. It was, and Jamie Lee Curtis's as well, her acceptance and for her parents and everything. I was like, oh, and I was watching it the next morning. I'm like, wow, that was, and I thought it was great that she got it, you know, and it didn't, in a way it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me because it is an amazing performance. Mm. It's just, we're not used to seeing that performance winning, right? That crazy over the top performance winning.
Yeah. With the picture, did you see the picture though from Temple of Doom? With it, with Short Round cuddling Indy, and then underneath it's the picture of them cuddling. I mean, that was beautiful. And then there was a tweet that had that picture, and then it said, "You took the long way round, Short Round." You know, just what a lovely picture. It was great. But yeah, so I wasn't surprised. With Best Supporting Actor was nailed on that all day long. He was going to win that. Supporting Actress again, Michelle Yeoh. It's her time. She was actress, wasn't she?
Supporting actress
was Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, both of them well deserved and really good. So I had no issues, no surprises with that. But I'm a bit surprised, not because I don't think it's worthy, but I'm a bit surprised of the Best Picture and Best Director as well. I was a bit surprised at that. I thought that was going to be All Quiet on the Western Front all day long. And again, not because I don't think it's deserved, just because I was surprised that they went, because it is a very quirky film.
Type of film. And we're not used to seeing those. And that's why I tweeted out today that I loved the idea when they added they went to 10 for Best Picture because it was to get more of the blockbusters in there, to get people more hopeful. But when they did it, we really didn't think our types of movies were going to have a chance. We knew it was we thought it was a publicity stunt. But is it working? Because maybe this movie wouldn't have been nominated 10 years ago. Or whenever they didn't, you know, I can't remember how long ago they upped it. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's opening people's eyes. It's opening people's perspectives on, hey, you know, and that's why I think he got Best Director. It's like, it's one thing. I get it. You make an epic, like All Quiet on the Western Front, but how do you direct a crazy movie with the special effects, with the everything that goes on directing a movie like that? That is an amazing job, you know.
Well, you know how you get two of you to do it. That's how you do it. You don't have one of you; you have two Daniels.
Right. Well, yeah, the Russo brothers, and same idea. But
yeah.
I think, like you said, we all think it's worthy of winning, but we're surprised it won because we're not used to our movies getting those, you know. I'm hoping it's a sign of things to come, you know, more movies like this get.
Yeah. Although this is so offbeat and unusual, I'm not sure I want to now see a lot of quirky clones. I think this is so unique. It's a lovely little jewel that I quite like as it is. And then seeing lots of people imitating that would be a problem. So I don't know how you guys feel about this. I'd be curious about your view as well, John, in terms of quirky films for me are either love or hate. And I think sometimes that if you, it's just quirky for the sake of it, it becomes irritating very quickly. Whereas I think in this was done with a story purpose in mind. And with the narrative in mind, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't want to see a lot of films like this now coming out because I want this to, you know, be as it is. So it'll be interesting to see next year whether they go more conservative. I know that's a loaded term. I don't mean it that way.
No.
In a more traditional, shall we say, that's probably a better word, isn't it? A more traditional type of movie, you know, an epic, a low key drama, you know, something like that. Will they do that next year as a response to this or not? I don't know. We'll see. But very well deserved. Have you seen it yet, John?
I still haven't seen it.
Are you intending to, or is it?
I eventually, when I can pick it up, but I'm not watching a lot of anything right at the moment.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it. And I'm not really your guy here because I couldn't be less interested in the Oscars or award ceremonies or any. Like, I know who won because I don't live under a rock. And like you can't help but know who won.
Right.
But like, I didn't watch the show. I didn't have any. Like, I don't know. I'm not an award show guy. I haven't seen that. I still really want to see the movie, not because it won Best Picture. I mean, I've wanted to see it regardless. But like, I don't even know all the other nominees that it was up against, and I still hadn't seen. I think when we talked about the nominations a few weeks ago, I had only seen 3 out of the 10 movies. And I've still only seen 3 out of the 10 movies. So I don't have a lot of comparison or like opinion on which one should have won because I didn't see most of them. So
right.
Some of them I will see. Some of them I don't. I still probably won't ever watch. Like, I don't know that I'll watch Women Talking or Tar or some of those other movies. You know, I probably will never see them. But
Jen and I were going to watch Tar. She wants to see it. I think that was the Women Talking was the other one that I didn't think I was going to see. I haven't seen yet.
And honestly, I don't know anything about that. I don't know what that's about. Like, I might like it.
Right.
It's not the title that, but like, I have no problem with Women Talking, so don't cancel me. But like, I don't know anything about it. Like, I don't know what it's about. And so I have no desire to see it because I've never even heard of it.
So. I was going to say, guys, look, we should all know by now, right? We've all got significant others. When women are talking, we are listening.
Exactly.
As simple as that. All right.
Exactly. What is that line from Frasier? I'm listening.
Yeah. Yes. Well, quite. Yeah. That's it. I was a little bit unhappy that Puss in Boots didn't win the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. I was annoyed at that. I was hoping that would win. I didn't think it would, but I was hoping it would.
What did
win? It's still my favorite animated film. Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
The Guillermo del Toro, which is, you know, great, fine. I mean,
which I did see.
Yeah. And, you know, rumor, I haven't seen it. Look, it's not really my kind of film as such, really. I don't particularly like the story of Pinocchio. I find it a bit unsettling, just personally. And so, and Guillermo del Toro's version is going to be even more so.
Right.
So fair enough. But I would have liked Puss in Boots to win it because that is a film I'd like to see more of in that kind of way, you know, that way of telling the film. But, you know, it might just be me. It followed the BAFTAs actually. That won the BAFTA for Best Animated Film as well. So it was going to happen. Generally it was fine. And then Maverick, of course, got Best Sound, rightly so.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are going to be complaining about that.
No.
What was cinematography? Was that Everything Everywhere
All
well?
Quiet.
Okay. Oh, of course it was. Which
of
makes
course. Yeah, and that's before I even found out, I was like, oh, I'm hoping, and I figured All Quiet would win that one. So at least it got that. And I thought, after seeing that, you're like, I figured that one would get it all along. For cinematography.
There are some shots in that are just stunning.
I
can't wait for the 4K disc. You know, we're actually getting one, aren't we? So, hopefully the start of some other Netflix stuff coming soon, which would be nice. Looking forward to seeing that again on disc. That'll be a day one purchase for me. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
It's only next month. And you guys might get that end of this month, I think it is, isn't it? We get it in April, I think.
Fairly soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be
but good. It's funny because that's another one that's like when Schindler's List came out. Oh, I can't wait to get that. I can't wait to get that. And then you're like, okay, put it on the shelf. Because they're both difficult watches. Right. Mm. It's like, it's not like you're like, all right, let's sit down and you don't sit down and enjoy this. It's like, right. I mean, they're great films and great cinematography, but it's not like you're like, all right, get my popcorn out. Like, nope.
Let's say, yeehaw, let's go to, World War One.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I am looking forward to watching it again in a non-compressed way. So yeah, I think it was good. I mean, I didn't watch the show. The show, of course, here is in the middle of the night. So I didn't watch it. I just watched the interesting highlights of the next day. But yeah, for me, the moment was definitely the Ki Kai Kwan and Harrison Ford, is very cool. So that was a nice for us of a certain age. That's a very cool thing indeed.
I like I do like the awards though. I do like the Oscars. In the past, I tweeted out today that I have had watch parties. I've had people over. We've watched them in the theater. Made an event out of it. I have going back to the late 80s, early 90s. It used to be a big deal to stay up and watch it when I was a kid. And then when I was out on my own, we used to watch it. And I did pay attention to a lot of the, even when it was, what was it, 4 or 5 that they only nominated for Best Picture. And I always tried to see as many as possible, but I loved the technical ones just because of home theater, and I've always tried to follow like best sound and stuff, and I've gotten away from it watching the show the last few years. Just been too busy, and I'm hoping I'm looking forward to getting back to that and actually having and making an event and sitting down and watching them each year, because I do enjoy them. Different from John, but I do enjoy them. So
how far into the performance of Natu Natu from RRR did you think, I just couldn't carry on with that, I'd be absolutely out cold?
Did you see
that?
No.
Yeah, they did obviously the big dance number in RRR, the one thing. Mm-hmm. So they did that on stage. And it just looked, I mean, 10 seconds in, you're thinking, yeah, my back would have gone there, but I pulled the muscle there. There's notice, interestingly, the actors were not doing it.
Yeah.
So they weren't about to try it. But they did the full number. It's just like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
So it was interesting.
Which is odd because it was not nominated for anything.
Yes, it was. Right? It won Best Song. It won Best Original
Song. Oh, did
song.
It? Yeah. Okay. I thought it wasn't
the only thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it should have been nominated. We talked about it should have been nominated for other stuff. What? Yeah. I mean, that would have been, I mean, talk about quirky films. I mean, I appreciate.
Definitely.
Now, I say that.
Quirky to us, but not really exactly, to over there.
Culturally.
Right.
Not having had exposure to the culture, it's quirky to us. But that would have been a worthy winner as well for something that just was completely different to anything we'd seen before.
Yeah.
It was good. And no one got slapped this year, so it's all good news. So whilst there was a bit less controversy, I think from what I saw, it was a good ceremony. Although I do feel sorry for the poor sod who was sat behind the woman with the big veil. Did you see that? Tell me, what would you have done, guys? Right, here we go. This is revealing now. So you've got your ticket to the Oscars, fellas, something you've always wanted. Maybe not you, John, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Something you've always wanted, right? It's your one time. You sit down. You've got your popcorn, posh popcorn, obviously. You sit down. You've got your posh drink as well. It's all good. And then along comes someone who sits in front of you with that veil and you can't see anything. Right, there we go. Pop quiz, hot shots. What do you do?
Well,
shoot the hostage.
I don't know. Was it removable? Is the question? Because I don't know. I think
I. There. I mean, it looks like she didn't move it. Would you have said?
No, but I'm saying it's not like a hat. Was it a hat that she could? It wasn't something she could take off, though, right? Like it was.
I don't know.
Because I would have definitely given her a tap on the shoulder. Because I've done it.
He was going with a double tap.
I've done it at the movie theaters where I've asked people to take off a hat or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something that she could remove, though. You know what I mean?
And it also depends on, in a situation like that, who's the person with the hat and who's seated behind him. Because that's all, like, You're not just, it's not like open seating, and it's, you're all placed that the person behind them is probably like, do you know who I, you know, they're probably nobody. Well, and nobodies.
That was the thing too. Is she like a, was she just a, like a guest, or was she like an actor? Like, was she?
Yeah, but she could be anybody. I mean,
well, right. But more, I guess, you know, my question is, like, was it Tom Cruise sitting behind her? Even though I know he didn't show up,
no, you he know would what have I'm been saying? Stood on a you know, on
right?
A, on
he
a,
would have standing on a milk chair. Box. But but like what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if they were all celebrities in that section of the
right.
audience, or if they were just like yeah. quote unquote normal people, or who they
does,
were.
Does but. It matter though?
I mean, not to me, but
Spielberg himself, and he decided he was going to work. Wouldn't you be like, look, hello, Mr. Spielberg, get the yeah. bloody hat off or else yeah. sunshine,
right.
you know, then you'll be phoning home. You know, it just thinking like this, you know, what do you just sit there and just let it happen? Or would you say something? You know, I'd like to think that I'd be like, oi.
I think I say so. I say something. I'm pretty sure I would, because I've done it before.
I can see the headlines the next day. Jason Statham shouts it in front yeah. of him at Oscars.
I mean, I might get slapped. Maybe it's, you know.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it depends on who the person is. I don't know. I don't know what I would do, because I know I'd look at myself. If I am at the Oscars, mm-hmm. like, why am I there? And now I'll be like, you got a free ticket. Okay. That's why I'm there. Right. And now yeah. I sit down. I'm like, oh man, why am I here? Oh, this is awesome. I'm at the Oscars. And then in comes the Pope with a hat on or something. And I'm like, I can't see. I'll be like, oh, that's why I'm here. I'm a seat filler. Yeah. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way I'm going to be there. I think that's the only way any of us is going to be there.
Well, right. But I guess we're assuming we're there because we have a reason to be there. Not, you know, we're in a hypothetical world.
Well, you asked
world,
what I
right?
would do. Why yeah. am I there? I mean, Brightside Home Theater.
What's my motivation?
Yeah. Oscar passes, you know.
You know, you've got as much of a right to be there as anybody else, surely.
Right.
I mean, you know, I had a school report once, a report card, you guys would say. I had a school report once that my teacher said to me that I take authority at face value would be a perfect lawyer. Right. I wondered for a long time what that meant, but I think that means I just don't necessarily put people on a pedestal and then just think, well, you've got to do what they tell you to do. And so I think with someone like that, I don't think I'd care who she was or what she was doing there. I'd like to think I'd be like, look, you're going to need to take that off because I can't see and it's not good enough.
Right. But you're assuming you're all equals. And to what you, to your
well, we
point,
are. Well, we are all equals.
Not necessarily.
Though.
Not if
we all have two legs and we all put our pants on one leg at a time.
Yes.
Right?
But if
we're
you
all
were
equals,
but if you were invited there for free and this person is a star, you are
and
not
do you
all
think
equals.
She paid to be there? She was there for free too.
No, but she's the attraction, not you.
Matter.
Yeah, I think I'm not. Again, I'm still a bit like, well, you can be in the attraction. Just take the stupid thing off your head,
right?
And
you're
you
not
can
telling
leave.
You to leave. You're
but
not
you
telling
could
you to
leave.
Go. Well, yeah, but then, you know, why should you? Because someone decides to be awkward. At what point do we stop that then? What if we get a hat that's bigger, 3, 4, 5 times as big, so 5 people behind you can't see? Is that all right?
Why are you going to? I don't know. You asked me why, what I would do. I'm like, well, if I'm there, I'm there for free because I'm not paying to go to the Oscars. And if somebody invites me, it's going to be on a whim and I'll be like, holy crap, I'll be excited I'm even there. You guys are looking at it like you paid your ticket, just like in John's example at the movies, you both paid the same.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's wrong. But if you're there for free, who knows what this person is? I don't know. I'd ask. I might be like, what,
who are you?
Can we do something about this? And if they said no, I'd be like, okay, I guess that's it.
Well, we know what the answer is. The answer is take a little portable projector and then just project the show onto the right. back of her veil.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be like looking right through her.
Watch it on my phone.
Who are you kidding, Steve? You'll just be watching it on your phone.
Yeah, well, obviously. iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah, could you hold this love just behind your head, please, so I could watch it? But yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No,
I do appreciate I derail these conversations sometimes. And Mike says it. Mike, have you seen that in the chat? Mike saying I'd be sitting quietly.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
Come on. You use some of that physical education teacher shouting stuff. Come on. I'm sure you could assert your authority.
Surely he'd be wearing his whistle.
Yeah, just tell her to do 50 laps, right. You know, do 50 push-ups and then just watch it while she's doing that.
Oh, anyway. All right, let's do something fun. I wanted to try this out. I saw this on, I saw this on Twitter today, and I wanted to see if I could pull it up here. And I tweeted about it, and I thought it was so cool. So let me see if I can pull this up here. Share screen. There we go. Now, watch. Where did it go? Oh, share. There it is. So this is the Kaleidoscape just put out this new video. I think this is it. Is this? Yeah.
Kaleidoscape elevates every component of your media system. Kaleidoscape's lossless audio makes your processor, amplifiers, and speakers sound the way the director intended.
No.
The dialogue is clearer, and every subtle sound and rumble.
Let me back that up a sec. What I thought was cool is I'm watching this and I got like all of these like chills because I was like, this is what I used to do. It's like, look at where the speakers are in the room here, if you can see my pointer, but you got the overheads in here, you got the ones on the wall, and they're like showing you the glowing version of them because they're inset in the room. But I was just like, I'm watching this and I was like, this is what I used to watch these videos, or not even these videos, they were ads. And it would be like, this is what you could have. And then I think there's one later on. There's another one coming.
And rumble draws you deeper.
This right here.
Mm.
Look at that theater right there.
Kaleidoscape's.
Right. Let me pause that. Back that paddock up. Now that's like a page out of an ad, right? And you look at that, and it's like, where are the speakers? And that's where I used to. That's where I got my ideas for what I want now and what I have now is like speakers behind the wall. Like, look here, you can't see any. I don't know if that's acoustically transparent screen or if the speakers are back here on the sides like that, but you could see a speaker up here in the overhead. Look how close this front row is. This is kind of like my, that's not the prime seating. I don't think I would say it was back here, 'cause that's pretty close to the front, but then you have, I mean, sound absorption on the side. But I was just watching this video. I watched it a few times and I was like, this is it. It just reminded me of going through the magazines and checking out all that stuff. And just every time I saw that stuff, I'd be like, pull different ideas. I'm not a big fan of this, the Starfield overhead in my own theater, because I'm like, I've seen people, we've hosted people that on HT tours, somebody made one by them on their own. It's amazing looking. But then you have to turn it out and you spend most of your time in the room with it out. And I'm like, that's a lot of work. But they do look nice.
I quite like it. But then remember I said to you ages ago about when I went to see Empire Strikes Back and I was very young, and this old cinema that I saw it in New Zealand, that's how long ago it was, had this Starfield in the ceiling. And I never forgot that. And when I came to have this one installed, I did say to them, can we do a Starfield? But they're like, well, you can, but it then drops the ceiling. So you've then got to bring it down, and that can then have impact. Because I quite wanted to have a Starfield, but with a constellation that's only visible in New Zealand up in the thing, mixed in with everything else, but just have that there. And then I'd know it was there. But it was like, we can, but.
Yeah.
So we didn't do it. So, but at some point it would be quite nice to have it. But with that, as I say, with that constellation, something that is unique, not just, you know, slot in panels. But that, you know, that does have a cost attached to it. Paul Hurt in chat says that family have my dog.
Where's the family?
I think you're looking at the wrong stuff there, Paul.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. Yeah. Husky. Yeah. Looks like a husky. Yeah, that's the dog I wanted, a black and white husky, and I got a red and white husky. I want a black and white male, and I got a red and white female. So, here, let me pull it up. There it is.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's it.
There you go. So, but yeah, no, I don't know why that just struck me, and I was like, that was really, really cool just watching that video through and watching it over, and I'm like, oh. And it's probably because I'm in the middle of doing all that now and coming up with ideas and carpet on the walls. Look at that. That's pretty cool. So, all right. We ready
to be walking all over it.
Exactly. We ready to get, I got a pretty fun tweak of the week to go along. Well, it was from last week, as a matter of fact. So, let's see. Tweak of the week. I got to get to our brand here. Are we ready for, here we go. Nice. All right. First up for our tweak of the week. So I did more tweaking this a couple weeks ago, talking about with the projector. Okay. And in the middle of it, Mike Schramm asked me a question, which will Mike's on the show next Tuesday. We've already recorded it, had a great conversation. But he asked me a question about the Lumigen, and does that, you know, level the playing field for everything. He said, Steve said that you weren't impressed with Puss in Boots, and I thought the video, mainly HDR, was excellent, very similar to watching Finding Nemo back in the day. The color and detail went up a notch. My question is, does your Lumigen make everything look like this so you're used to it now? And John and I actually talked about this last week, and it's a great question because there's many answers to it. And I don't want to get too much into it today because that's what Mike and I talk about next Tuesday. It's a great conversation, but it's a great question because it's like I was thinking it, rising tide raises all boats, but at the same time, there's more room for improvement and lesser, you know, non-HDR content. So we get into that. But when he asked this, I was in the middle of, you know, just messing with my projector settings and messing with some stuff. And, you know, this was a few weeks ago. And one of the things I noticed is, remember I said a while ago that I have a setting, film one, where I actually put on the black enhancements and I put on the motion and stuff just for when I'm watching streaming and I think something doesn't look right. I can, it's calibrated exactly the same, but then I add on the enhancements. And then I came across this and it's a Star Wars scene. Go figure. Star Wars, A New Hope. And it's timestamp on it. It's this scene here at 54 minutes and 26 seconds. And it's when they're going in to meet that. I think they're finally going to go in and meet and see the Falcon for the first time. Okay. So they're just about, you can see them in the background. So here's the scene and yeah, you can see them in the background here and they're just about to go in. So this is obviously the edited version. The new version. All right. 4K. So here, this is the scene at reference level that I'm showing you right now on the video stream. And basically you see, do either of you know the name of this character?
Garen Dan.
Oh, you do. Oh, pretty cool. Okay. So he's in all black, right? And it's a very dark scene. So what you can see here is like up at the top, you can see some shadowing and stuff on him. And the black level here is really good. This is reference taken. Now I set this is taken with my iPhone. I'm not trying to show you, you know, HDR or anything like that. But what I am going to show you is the difference when you turn on the contrast enhancement. And on my projector, it's called contrast enhancement. It increases your black level for you. And what ends up, and I had it on medium. So when I went to film mode, and again, my iPhone was locked. So whatever setting, whatever, this is the aperture and everything is locked. Now here's the picture of it with contrast enhancement. And do you see the difference? Can you guys see the difference there?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Yeah, the black detail's gone.
But that, now you see how much darker he is. And like it's enhancing your black level and it's great. It's like, wow, that just got deeper. But all it's doing when you go back, all it's doing is it's taking your black floor, which is always the same. You can't make extra black, right? You just have black. So it's taking more around it and making it black. That's what black enhancement is doing. So it's actually saying, all right, we're going to make everything even deeper to give you that more, get you closer to, like, as you could see, the edges here are all around the screen. That's all velvet. So that's black. But when you go to the contrast enhancement, it gets slightly closer to that. But you lose all of that nice. And in real life, you can actually see it up on his, like, by his forehead. You could see it a little bit. But what I noticed in real life is you, especially in motion, you lost all of the nice detail that you can see. Not nice detail, but it's in the shoulder and stuff like that.
Yeah, shadow detail.
The shadow detail, yeah. And it's all gone. And it took me, I don't even know why I all of a sudden decided that maybe I was watching the scene and I was like, oh, I wonder what happens, because it's very, very limited detail there in reference. And I was like, I backed it up and I put it on. I was like, oh my God. And there's a scene before this, about 2 minutes before this, it's almost identical. He backs against the wall. It's almost the identical scene, but that in both, it looks exactly the same. The contrast enhancement doesn't affect it at all because it's so dark anyways. And I went back and forth on that one as well. But this one, like I said, at 5426, that's where you can really see the difference with contrast enhancement off and, you know, contrast enhancement on.
Did you try it with Vader's costume? Because with the different blacks he's got on his you know, he's got his sort of boxer's belt, isn't he, in the first one?
Yeah.
And you've got the difference with his cape, which has a sort of velvet kind of edge along it.
Yeah.
And then it's got the cape, and then you've got underneath as well. So it'd be interesting to see what it looks like with that too.
It's I did stuff like that, and you don't lose as much, because you lose a little bit, but the contrast isn't as subtle, right?
Okay.
Like in this particular scene, it's like there, it's so close. Like what you see here on his shoulder and everything, it there, your black levels or your detail, it's such a fine gradation in black levels that's something that can be crushed away by the contrast enhancement. Whereas on Vader, there's a bigger difference. So you're not losing as much. You might lose. I didn't really AB it like this, but you'll get a little bit darker here. But then like on his, like the plastic, you'll still notice the difference in subtleties there, because it's not as subtle. If you get what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is why it's little things like this. It's like, do I really want my, you know, that looks darker, but it's not correct. Right.
That's, it's like, quite, so yeah, you never want to lose the shadow detail. Funnily enough, DJ, that's something that, Vincent Teo, when he calibrated my TV, and he was showing me some, again, remember I've said loads of times, you know, he wasn't about to do it with me out of the room. He's like, come in, sit there. You're going to learn this. And we're going to go through it. And you know, 4 hours later, it was great. We were geeking out. It was brilliant. And he put on some shots from The Dark Knight. And he was going on then. He was saying, now look, here is the, you know, the black floor. Here's the shadow detail. And he goes, look, if we do it this way, notice how all that detail is gone. Put it in this way. Now you can see it. And he was really keen to show how setting it in this particular way and calibrating it properly preserves that detail that you want to be able to see. And then also showing scenes where he said, now here, you're not supposed to see anything. It is just supposed to be black. And you know, he really, really emphasized that. And ever since then, whenever I review anything, I'm always sort of looking at that and the difference between detail and crush, you know. And so, yeah, I get why you'd want to keep it the way it is now rather than changing to the enhanced black, but then you lose that detail. Because in some movies, perhaps not so much in this one, but in some films, that there is stuff that is there in the shadows that is there to be seen. It's supposed to be viewable. And if you lose that and you get rid of it, you're not then getting everything that you could from the film. You know, things like Fincher movies, you know, David Fincher's famous for, you know, packing the darker parts of the frame with important information. Shyamalan does it as well. You know, that sort of stuff. And so if you boost the black levels, you're going to miss all that. So, yeah.
So I thought this was one of the few examples I could find that was that dramatic, right? Mm. Like you said, like there's a lot of scenes where like, well, I'm not really losing anything here. Yeah. Cause it's not as subtle. So you're not really, I mean, this is literally just like gone. Like, you know, like, oh, and it was, I was happy that it showed up on the phone too, because sometimes this stuff's so subtle, it was hard to get this to show up on the phone, get the reference quality to show up on the phone, because, you know, so. But yeah, so that'll do that for that tweak. And John, how are you doing in your situation? I know the update, but any more?
Projector should be here tomorrow.
Nice. So,
good.
Yeah. So fingers crossed. It's all been updated and repaired. So hopefully it was worth it. I know, we'll see. Once I get it in place and get it all realigned and get to play with it a little bit.
So you've got to do all that. They're not going to do that for you.
Well, they won't. No, they're not going to realign it for me. They didn't do it in the first time. I mean, they just, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. It just takes a little time. Mm. You just got to get it lined back up with the screen, because the screen's in a fixed position. So you got to get everything lined back up with hopefully as little keystoning as possible, and then get it dialed in the rest of the way. So.
And then, but then at least you can now get it calibrated, I suppose, as well. You're gonna,
The update's done. So, yeah, now I can look into getting, I'm going to live with it for a little while again as it is, so I can see what I have and be able to notice the difference with a calibration after I get it. Because if I just jumped right into it, I wouldn't even know what improvements were made, you know. I'm looking forward to getting it back.
Did you ever get Dolby Vision on that yet?
Not yet. That's another update that's still somewhere. Supposedly just they're waiting on – it's all in Dolby's court, waiting for them to approve the certification. So that's been the stock answer for several months. So whether I believe that or 100% or not, I don't know, because I feel like it shouldn't take that long for Dolby to certify a machine. But that's still coming at some point down the – in the horizon. So
yeah. Cool. So can't wait for your tweaks of the week next week.
Hey, yeah, I should have at least a little bit to talk about with the, the 24 FPS mode and then the enhanced black level. Although, again, that's exactly what we were just talking about that, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not what this is doing, the people that have already had it, it's, supposed to be a pretty big improvement, but I haven't seen it for myself. So, I've seen still, screenshots just like you put up, but it's harder to tell, it's not representative of what you're going to see in person. So,
no, it's, and that what you see in person, and it's, if they can increase the black level, just their native black level by adjusting how, it projects the light output, everything like that's different. But if it's like actually a setting, like, okay, we're going to enhance your black level, it's like, what is that doing? And that's usually like,
the thing is, it is a setting that you can turn on and off.
Okay.
Which is odd, because like, I don't know why anybody would choose not to use it.
Well, here is where I will say it is important. Is in on a situation like yours where you're dealing with ambient light, you're going to lose all that detail anyways.
Yeah.
Right. So you're trying to, you know what I mean? So like you're in an ambient light situation with a screen, you're going to lose that detail just because it's going to get washed out anyway. You're not going to be able to tell that gradation. So where you use contrast enhancement there, that's actually pumping it up for you so that you in an ambient light situation, it feels like that's a deeper black and everything like that. So there is a situation for it, but in critical viewing in a light controlled environment, none of that should be on. None of that. That's all stuff that, like, it's like when you put on, when we talk about the compression we do for the sound and everything, or it's the same idea. It's like you don't want to be doing that in a critical viewing situation.
Well, but I mean, again, their official response is that the update works best in a completely light controlled room. So So I don't know. I don't know exactly what it's doing until I get to see it. But yeah, you know, we'll see. All I know is that it increased the contrast ratio. But again, my point is, like I said, like you said initially, if you're just altering the output light level, why would you ever want to turn it off? Like, it shouldn't be an optional thing. It should have just been an update that they did that's in place 100% of the time,
right?
You know, and not something that you could just switch on and off, because I don't see a reason why I would ever not use it. But yeah, but you know, maybe there is. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, now I just gave you a scene. I know you'll be pulling that up.
Yeah. Well, you, if nothing else, movie, it makes John. It makes it super easy to test, because I can just, like I said, go to a scene, put it on, turn it off, you know, and, and see what the difference is. So it'll be pretty easy to judge. But yeah, I think I have Star. I think I have that movie around here. I'll have to dig for it, but I might have a copy or two around somewhere.
It's funny looking behind you.
Yeah. Maybe. I've heard of Star
Wars. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Yeah. All right. Very excited for next week's Tweaks of the Week. So you ready to get to some listener experiences?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All righty. All right. Let's see. Who wants to go first? Steve, why don't you? John, why don't you go first? You haven't been. You came in late. You haven't been.
I came in late, and I have really very little to contribute this episode.
Right, so here you go.
I might as well do this.
Yeah.
So this is from G. Cornell, Older Action Movies. A listener asked for suggestions of older action titles to watch. Here's a fast-paced triple header. The French Connection from 1971, Speed from 1994, and Unstoppable from 2010. So
those are great. Unstoppable's really good. We watched that as a family back probably in 2011, 2010 when it came out on disc. But yeah, that one's really good. And Speed, obviously. Yeah. What did you think of the 4K release of Speed, Steve?
I remember it being very good.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Because I've only watched it once. I have got it in 4K, but I remember it from what I could recall. It removed a lot of the sort of smudgy, hazy kind of look that the previous Blu-rays and the DVDs had. It always had, it looked kind of weird. And I thought at the time that was the shooting style, but the 4K disc cleans that up a bit. The audio I seem to remember being okay, but nothing amazing from what I remember. I think there's some quite nice overhead stuff at the beginning when the lifts are going up. Going up and down.
The lifts.
We're doing aluminum and aluminium. Let's get the So when the elevator lift things are going up and down, there's some quite nice kind of overhead movement in that. But yeah, it was okay. I don't think I remember. It wouldn't be reference, I wouldn't say.
No.
And yet it's previously, of course, when it was THX mastered for the DVD, if I remember rightly, because all the Fox films were, it was a reference disc at that point.
Yeah.
But what about you? What do you think of it?
I wasn't impressed with it. Picture-wise, I A-B'd it. I was going to do this one as an episode, and I ended up doing Need for Speed. And that's how I ended. So when I did Need for Speed, I actually got halfway through this movie and I was like, I just wasn't jazzed up about it. I like the movie. I love the movie. And maybe that's why I was a little disappointed. I was expecting more out of the 4K, especially the sound. I really wasn't super impressed with it. Even the picture, yes, the improvements, I agree with you. I read the same things. I heard the same things. But I was like, I couldn't. You know, like when I'm doing a review like that and I sit down and do the sights, the sounds and the scenes, I need to be excited about it. And every scene I was like, I just didn't feel it. I just didn't want. So I was like, all right, let me try something else. And I did Need for Speed. And I love that movie for sound, but Speed is just, and I love the movie. It just doesn't, it wasn't there.
The explosions and stuff have got a bit more kind of punch with the HDR from what I can remember as well. They're a little bit more hot. I know that's a stupid phrase to use with an explosion, but they look, but there's got more texture to it. They're a little bit more lifelike. They're not as sort of faded as the DVD and the Blu-ray. But yeah, it's not a reference disc. It's not one you're going to dig out to go, look at my system, guys. Check out 4K. You know, you're not going to do it. But then I don't think it ever really was. It was never.
It could be though, because it's a fun movie.
Yeah, but only within the confines of what was shot. You know, you're going to go back to the original camera negative. If it was supposed to look that way, there's only so much you can do. Yeah. But yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's a great film. It is a good film. But yeah, it's not one you're going to dig out. I mean, Unstoppable would be interesting to see that redone in 4K. Mm. Was that one of Tony Scott's last ones? With Denzel Washington and, because it's Denzel Washington and Chris Pine, isn't it?
Chris Pine, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was one of his last films. I think it was. That's how I remember it, but I might be wrong. But yeah, that would be interesting.
It's a loud movie.
I haven't, you know what? I haven't seen it for ages. I've got the Blu-ray. Yeah. That's one I've got from the States. I imported that. Yeah. So I need to, I might have to get back and rewatch.
Have you seen those, John?
I've seen them all, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any of them in 4K or Blu-ray for that matter. I have Speed on DVD. So,
and after my review, that's probably where it'll stay.
Yeah. Which I don't even have my DVDs are all for sale in my store right now. So I don't even have DVDs anymore. Yeah.
That's funny.
So I won't watch one. I'd rather just stream it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. You could stream it in 4K and be pretty
equal
to what you got on the DVD for sure. I was thinking Blu-ray, but yeah. DVD.
Well, Blu-rays I'll still watch. There's still some very good Blu-rays, but DVD I won't watch anymore.
Yeah. Steve, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, this is Rockstar's one. Yeah. So this is this is a comment to after the Ghostbusters Afterlife episode from Rockstar. We don't know what his first name is. We never figured that out. But the comment is GB Afterlife is such a good AV demo. You have to just play through the whole thing. The audio is demo worthy every 5 to 8 minutes. Now, I only worked out today what that was.
Ghostbusters?
Because as I read that, tell me, I mean, you guys won't have done it because you're not used to seeing that. I saw GB Afterlife and I thought he meant the British version of the Netflix Ricky Gervais series Afterlife, right? So I thought GB was Great Britain. Afterlife. And I was thinking, of all the things that series is, what it's not is AV demo. I was looking at it thinking, have I missed something?
Now, we've all seen that. We've both seen that show, but
I wouldn't have. One thing it's not.
Yeah.
It's an AV demo every 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah, but
I know it says it right above it. I know. I could not see it any other way. It's only today I realized what he meant.
That's awesome.
Isn't it funny how you read something and you can't then read any other way?
You only see it a certain way. You have it like you can't, until you can, until it's evident to you that you're like, oh my God, how did I?
It's above it.
With a picture and everything,
it's bizarre. I just read it as Great Britain Afterlife is a good AV demo.
Watch it. I'm gonna share that screen. I'm gonna share that so people can see what you're seeing.
I don't know what it was. It just my brain just read it one way, and it was not going to do it any other way. So yeah, it genuinely took me about 30 reads of that to realize what it was.
That's funny. Let's see. Here we go. I could share that. This is what's. Yeah, let me unhighlight it. Oops. This is what he's seeing. It's the notes.
Yeah.
Brockstar commented on your video. And all I do is I screen grab just that picture. Right. And so it has the title and everything right above it.
Yeah, I know. I just saw GB and thought Great Britain and then Afterlife thinking it's Ricky Gervais.
It's so great. But you're right. That is not at all a great AV demo.
No.
It's a seriously incredible show.
Great series. Yes.
Great series. Yeah.
The last episode of that just, I mean, I loudly sobbed. during that, embarrassingly loudly sobbed. Links into our charity, doesn't it, of this month, but the little child saying, you know, do you believe in heaven and what does it look like? Oh my God. Honestly, it was embarrassing how loudly I was sobbing at that. It was, but it's just so well done. So
you're
well
like
written.
Me. You're just like me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not just
there
Sammy
you
Field.
Go. All right. This next one, Gurinder. He comes in, confession time. He's like, confession time. I've never seen Pulp Fiction from beginning to end. I've seen bits and pieces here and there, but never the whole thing in one sitting. I was hooking up the system for kid's birthday on weekend and looked on my power amp. It says 1500 watts max draw. Of course, I donated some blood to the cause. I sliced a bit of my finger off, cutting down the carpet. He's talking about his theater that he's building. Finished a little bit of wiring today on HT. By the way, I did something I said I wouldn't do. I somewhat listened back to the podcast I was on. I still hate my voice. Good thing I am not a singer. Time to try out putting up some of my corner traps and see what it does to sweeps at MLP of LCR. Wish me luck, Gurinder. So, the confession time on the Pulp Fiction, bits and pieces. Well, that's kind of the way Pulp Fiction is taken. The entire thing is bits and pieces. So maybe you have seen the whole thing. You don't even realize it.
We've got more confessions in the chat. Van Gool is saying, I'm like him and have not seen Pulp Fiction. Why are you watching this? Just pause it. Go and watch it. Come back.
Oh, my.
We'll wait. We're okay.
Yeah. My God. It's not like it's a new movie.
You've had 20 years to watch it.
You hadn't seen Christmas Vacation because you said you only watch it after your birthday. But there's only been like 30 birthdays since it came out.
Quite. Which is the greater one to not have seen? Pulp Fiction or Christmas Vacation?
Good question. I don't know.
I win. Fact.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction. For sure.
Let's WV Brew. Owen Wilson Paint. I didn't even know this was coming out. Did you guys see this?
No, I saw the tweet, but I hadn't seen. Yeah, I didn't know anything about this. Yeah. I know the guy. I remember watching this series.
Bob Ross.
This came out. This was over here for a while. It was on, one of the very small cable channels. But it was always so relaxing just watching him paint and listening to him talk. He was great for insomniacs, but not good if you were operating heavy machinery.
Right.
But he's just fascinating. What was the draw? Was, if you'll forgive the expression. It's just relaxing to just watch him paint? Is that what it was for you guys as well?
Correct me if I'm wrong, DJ, but he wasn't the first guy. There was a guy on that show before him that was like an older German bald guy.
Yeah.
And he did. Nothing wrong with bald guys.
No.
And then it became Bob. Not answering for DJ, but for me, it was just the fact that I wanted to try to recreate the paintings.
Right.
Okay.
I fancied myself a bit of an artist and I liked to try to do that. And so that's what it was for me. Like as a kid, his personality didn't really, it didn't register
happy
for me
little
at all.
This.
Yeah. It was more just, I liked watching the art portion of it. Although again, it's all just hotel lobby art, right? Like none of it's real art.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. It's funny that WV sent this because literally, when he sent this out, like within minutes of each other, I was having a conversation with Ara from HD guys, and him and his daughter or something, they're taking a Bob Ross class and they're doing Bob Ross paintings. And he sent me his daughter's and then his, and I'm looking at them and his daughters are really good. His are a little like what I said to him. I'm like, you're pushing too hot on the brush, buddy. Right. It's like you got it. And his daughters are like highlighting his daughter is highlighting the trees really nicely. Her knife work on the mountains is really good. Like what you barely putting the knife on the canvas, and it's like you could tell, and we had this problem too. We had to learn how to do this, but it's like, and when I say we used to do this, and John and I can talk about this, but when we were kids, we'd go into class, into our art class, and do this stuff. And Mr. McPhee, our teacher, would be like, stop it. Stop it. That's, and he'd be like, that's junk.
It's not art.
That's not art. He's like, but, and we would love it, but they would, yeah. This Bob would, he'd turn these things out in like a half hour show. And that's what we wanted to do. Right. And we could do it. And we'd be like, remember asking him, can I get a spatula? No, because I know what you're going to do with it. And then try to do it in acrylic and you can't because it dries too fast. So you have to do an oil, and it's what was one of the R is like. He goes, yeah, we've got to get more. What's it called? White, not magic white, or what did they call it? I forget.
Crush? No,
no.
Crushing was blue. I don't remember what
it was. Whatever it was, but it just all rang a bell. Everything, but it's these two conversations are going on at the same time, and I get WV's tweet. That's what I mean. I'm like, this is just hysterical. I didn't even know this movie was coming out.
I didn't either. And honestly, I didn't even know that was a real thing. I thought it was just a meme.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just a joke.
I think it's real, right?
Because I don't know. I can't really read. I can't read this. It's a little too small for me.
But, yeah.
I thought it was just a joke.
I think it's like a biopic. I think it is. I'd read somewhere about it, but I just figured it was always about meditation and relaxing.
I see Owen Wilson doing that part, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It might be a comedy. Maybe it's a
maybe, but it feels very miscast.
The whole show was a comedy. Well, it was a Happy Little Trees. But the guy before him, like you said, was they painted exactly the same way.
Right, same show. It was formulaic. Still called. I think it was called The Joy of Painting. Even before, Bob Ross was just the second guy. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And it was PBS for us, which is just public TV.
I'm thinking it could be a great home theater experience, right? All right, John, you want to take the next one?
Let's see. PK Hamu 2005, mm-hmm. Home Theater Experience, Rocky 1, 2, and 3 in 4K. I do agree with Jason, Steve. F1 is a fantastic. Okay, do agree with Jason Steve
Statham?
Statham. I don't know.
F1 is a fantastic. He's calling him Jason Statham.
Okay,
that's why he says it.
Jason. Okay, is a fantastic show. It is encoded in Dolby Vision, and the day scenes are fabulous. Not sure whether your TV has Dolby Vision. Truly amazing how much each team principal goes through in running a team, and yet never lose their mind. But I also feel some private one-to-one conversations they are recording on camera, which at times feel scripted and could be an act of obligation for Netflix. Subwoofers truly breathe when the race starts.
Hmm. That's Drive to Survive he's talking about there, from the one Drive to Survive. Right. I mean, my TV does have Dolby Vision, but I've often said I don't think it makes much difference, at least not on my TV. The contrast is so high on it that it didn't make much difference. And again, I remember having this conversation with Vincent Tio, who's like, Steve, it won't on your TV. You don't really need it. It's for it brings up lesser displays. Yours just doesn't need it. Cause I remember A being bright, the Will Smith thing. Then we go back to the Oscars and the slap. And I remember A being bright on Dolby Vision and then non Dolby and just being, I can't see the difference unless I looked really, really closely. You absolutely just doesn't matter. So yes, I've got it, but I'm not bothered about Dolby Vision. It does very little for me at all and certainly doesn't affect my viewing or buying decisions at all. It's a great series. It is good. I don't think it is scripted. I think it's quite the opposite. I mean, some of the stuff they say, including about Netflix and blatantly, I can't imagine any streaming service saying, I've got a great idea. Have this script and call us anything you like. Right. I mean, I think it's quite clearly not scripted. It just looks as though they're just told, the cameras are on, walking along, just ignore us. You do what you like. And then they play stuff that you wouldn't believe. Cause it certainly doesn't help their brands.
Right.
So yeah, but it's a great show. It is really good and well worth watching.
Cool. All right. Sorry about that. Let's see. The next one. Why don't you read the next one as well? It's also from PK. This is pretty
good. So, do you want to do that, John? Yeah, go on.
I can. Yeah, it's because it's also from PK. PK here. I genuinely want to know, is there any movie which DJ didn't like? He is overflowing with so much optimism that he likes every movie in his theater. That's heights of optimism. Well, we all know how he feels about Speed.
I like the movie.
I replied to this, and I just said, ask him what he thought of Malignant.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's funny because that's the problem with being, you know, all I talk about is the good stuff. I mean, you want negativity. There's plenty of it out there. So I just choose not to dwell on that. There's a lot of movies I don't like, but I just don't talk about them. Now, if I haven't talked about a movie, it doesn't mean I don't like it. It's just maybe I haven't gotten to it. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm of the belief that when you talk negative about stuff, somebody likes it. So you're only going to, and it's just my opinion, right? Mm. So talking negative about something, who does that help? Right. And it's like, and I'm not saying that nobody should do it. I just choose, there's so much of it, I choose not to. And I've always been, John knows that, I've always been this way. Always been this way. It's just, it's before social media. It's just like, why bother? I think it goes to the, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Right. You know, so it's like, I'm not trying to save anybody's life here by helping you avoid stuff. I just want to talk about the good stuff, and you can find negativity elsewhere.
Right. And not to dissuade, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but isn't all the good stuff you talk about just your opinion also?
As well. Yes, absolutely.
You know, so absolutely. I mean, your positive opinion is just as valid mm-hmm. as your negative opinion, or your negative opinion is just as valid, right? As your positive opinion would be. If you're happy showing telling people what your opinions are of things you like,
right,
it shouldn't devalue your opinion of the things that you don't like. Now whether you choose to talk about them or not is
right.
different, but you're saying it's just my opinion, that invalidates your positive opinions too, right? So
well, they're all, I mean, it's the validation comes from the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If you want to devalue my opinion, I don't devalue my opinion. Right. And I have my opinions in both directions. I don't devalue them. And people do. People have devalued my opinion personally in real life at work because I'm positive there as well. My boss used to call when I worked for a different company, used to call me in all the time to talk to me because he's like, I know you're always going to give me the positive spin on something. Tell me what to see here. And I'm like, he knows that I know the negatives as well. He goes, but this is what's going on at work. What are we thinking here? And I'm like, well, this is boom, 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 boom. And we'll get through it this way. And I'll put the positive on it, but I understand the negatives. The point is, yes, I don't devalue it. It's the, like, if people don't want to listen to me because I'm too positive, that's on them. And that's fine. I get that. But I don't want to put any more negativity. I don't choose to put any more negativity out there because I just don't. There. And the other part is, why would I want to say I said,
Carl, you see Carl's comment. DJ slams my opinions 24/7,
but not directly. I don't talk to Carl and slam his opinions. They might not coincide with you as the listener and you're sitting there. It doesn't mean I'm not slamming your opinion. Your opinions are valid, right? Just, I don't agree with it. But do you see what I mean? Like, look at Carl here. He's like, he slams my opinion 24/7. I've never said anything negative to him. Imagine if I had. But that's my point. It's like, by saying something negative, you're only going to make somebody upset. And I don't want to do that. If somebody gets upset about me being positive, well, that's on you. So I, you know, and I'm not saying people shouldn't say negative opinions, because that's how we find out some of the bad things out there. I read negative opinions, and I'll avoid stuff if I trust that person's opinion. I just choose not to partake in that. Now, I'll tell you my go-to movie, the only movie I've ever returned, Judge Dredd. bought it on Laserdisc and returned it that day.
Just be very quick, Deej, because there might be people that don't know, that's the Stallone version, not the Carl Urban one.
Right. No, like, I love the Carl Urban one. That's called Dredd. The Stallone Judge Dredd is the only movie I've ever returned on Laserdisc, and he was nice enough to take it back. But yeah, no, I love that question, though. That PK said that. People have asked me that before. I get that all the time. Is there anything you don't like? Yeah, there's a lot I don't like. But it's like, I don't choose to partake in letting everybody know. So there you go. Let's see. And like you said, if you like Malignant, I had to talk about that. It was on the show. And it's like,
it's a good film, damn it.
You like it. But that made me uncomfortable. Like, oh crap, I gotta talk about this. All right. Let's see. I'll go through this one. Paul Hertz email. He says it's official, Transformers is a better film than The Godfather. In DJ's home theater anyway. That is correct. He also said, I suppose if the sights and sounds are important, we could restrict it to films with good disc releases, which would help narrow it down. Excuse me, talking about like the older movies and stuff. And that's the point. That was the point of this podcast, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, what we're doing in our theaters. And, you know, we've kind of expanded on that a little bit, at the core of this podcast, anyways, it's about the home theater experience. And it's, you know, not a little less Siskel and Ebert and a little bit more about the technical stuff and the fun sights and sounds and scenes. So that's where I went with that. So, but yeah, people are getting that. So, and then this last one, I'll just click on Jack Leah tweet. Brightside HT at Legal Beagle. Okay. And John, sorry, I don't have him on Twitter. This is a Discord group here in Australia about home theater. I think you may enjoy it. Been listening to the show for over 6 months now, really enjoying it and learning heaps. So thanks, Jack. I should add everybody's, I'm going to start adding everybody's Twitter into the show notes because we forget to say it here all the time. We should be saying it, but John's Twitter handle is at Arkham Comics with an X. Correct, John?
That is correct.
And but I will put all three of us into the show notes and it'll show up in every show going forward. So, but yeah, so thanks, Jack. Appreciate listening. And I will also have this Discord link in the show notes as well. So, all right. That should do it for listener experiences.
Touch on the Disney article. It's in my notes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, should we should we just quickly talk about that, just because it's been all over Twitter and it's been all over the interwebs this week.
That's right. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, you're okay. It's in my show notes. I think
it in mine too. So.
Yeah, rather than summarize rather than read out the whole sort of article, which is someone else's and isn't fair, just to sort of summarize it. Essentially, it has become public knowledge, something that I was told a number of weeks ago. And again, I still don't want to say who, even though he outed himself on Twitter. But I don't want to say too much about it. So it looks as though we all know, obviously, Disney, the CEO changed. Bob Iger, isn't it? Came back. And they have now realized something that, and a lot of us were thinking, which is that streaming is not paying the bills. And Disney have now looked at, and because Bob Iger, back when he was the CEO previously, was very much keen on physical media as a viable revenue stream. And he has been critical this week and recently about streaming and how it's, as I said, not paying the bills. So they are now, and it's become public knowledge this week on this article, now re-looking at their traditional delivery systems, that being code for physical media. And I am aware through a conversation I had with someone who works for Disney and is in a position to know that they have decided that they're going to look at this again, and they are looking at licensing a number of their titles, both back catalog and recent releases, for not only release by themselves, but licensing it to others. And you guys know, because we talked about it, and I'm not going to say the title that we talked about on here, because again, that's not been officially made public yet. But at least one of their very, very big releases from last year has been licensed to a label for release that's going to make everybody very happy indeed. But again, I'm not at liberty to say what it is, but you guys know, because we've told you off air. Yeah. So this was not news to me, but it is certainly news to everybody else, and everyone's getting very excited. And the hope is that means we may get Mandalorian. We may get, that's not what this title, we might get Mandalorian. We may get things like The Abyss. We might get the Touchstone releases. So Tombstone, things like that. And that we might finally get all this stuff coming on 4K disc, which would be very cool. Yeah. So yeah, lots of excitement this week about that, and rightly so. And of course, where Disney leads, others will follow.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing as well. And it may well be then that, I think back catalog wise, the last couple of years have been pretty good. You know, Warner's, Universal, Sony, you know, they've been raiding their vaults. But it does bode well for a number of movies that may have yet to make it out. And hopefully, you know, those will come. So yeah, very, very exciting times. And it can only be good, even if it only means there's an extra four or five releases a year. They could be really good stuff that are must own, you know, movies like Dances with Wolves, you know, that's a Fox film, you know, again, Tombstone, we talked about previously, you know, these kinds of films that would be absolutely fantastic to finally have in 4K might be coming. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Streaming, the Mandalorian, that's the stuff that I think they're going to get. They could actually make some money, big money on, I think, from but again, we'll see how big of a market we are. You know, the people that will buy that, does it put a dent in them? Because I think as they start releasing stuff, does it just start as a trickle and then pick up? And if people start grabbing it, and they'll be like, all right, let's get more and more out there. You know, I think they tried to do everything exclusively streaming to try and make people watch it. But the problem with it is streaming, exclusivity to streaming doesn't necessarily mean people won't, you know, people will only watch you. You know, like I'm having a hard time explaining what I'm thinking, but what it is like, if I feel like they were afraid to put it on disc because people wouldn't get the stream. And I don't think that's the case. I think they missed the idea that people automatically, we already do both, right? It's like, we want to see like the Mandalorian live, watch it, talk about it. And then when it comes out, we'll watch it again and talk about it, but we'll buy it again. I think it's a very, even more rare person that's like, I'll just wait for it on disc, you know, with this kind of thing. So,
yeah. Well, then you can do both. I mean, what is it? $70-$80 a year. It's about £80 a year for Disney Plus. You can get that, pay that up front. That's done. And then you can still buy the discs, and then you own it. You know, you've got it, and in better quality as well. So yeah, I mean, as I said, this particular person said, you know, Disney are waking up to this, and they're not alone. And that, you know, the $7.99 a month or $80 a year is just not going to keep this stuff coming. Whereas your $25, $30 every month, two or three titles a month, that works out at quite a decent investment. And if you think about, I mean, you guys might know better than I do, but the way I think of this is the master of the film or the TV show is set and it's done, isn't it? It's done when they finish filming it. So licensing that to another company, you know, means it just must be all gravy, mustn't it? It just must be all money. They haven't got to do anything. There's your file. Here's your digital file. You do what you want to do with it. Give us, I don't know, whatever it might be, $10 million. I've no idea.
Right.
Yeah. You know, just for argument's sake, $10 million. Give us that. Go bye bye then. Off you go. that's just 10 million they've made without having to do anything for it. It's just
whatever money, all whatever over money above, whatever they make. Yeah.
It could so
be per it sale. It could be like they just get a percentage of what you sell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It could well be. Yeah.
But whatever
it's all gravy.
But it's just extra. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So why not? You know, it's a bit surprising it's taken them this long to really think, well, actually, that makes sense. Let alone the fact that Disney Plus is still not available in huge swathes of the world. But, you know, they'll be able to pick up the discs. So there's all kinds of financial sort of revenue streams there that they can exploit. As well as people like us who will, you know, lap this stuff up all day long. So
more AB
looking good. Sorry. AB.
More AB in the theater.
Well, we know at least one person, John, don't we, that'll buy six copies of anything.
Of everything. Yes.
Yeah. Anything and everything all at once.
In everywhere.
I only own it once.
So it's a bit surprising it's taken this long to realize it, but it is exciting and it is encouraging.
Yes.
And as I said, when I heard this few weeks ago, again, before this had been released, I was like, ooh, so much so I texted you guys almost straight away. And you know, I was excited about it, but it's nice to now see that this is, you know, it's becoming public knowledge, and for them to have released this to the press, which they did, is good news. The only negative for me will be I'll then have to buy all the Marvel TV shows. And I'm sorry, I'm the one that doesn't like them in WandaVision. And I didn't like.
Oh, really?
What was the. Yeah, I didn't like the ending. And I didn't like Miss Marvel and stuff as well. And I'll have to buy them because I'll have to have the set. So that's mildly irritating.
Yeah.
because I, as a completionist, I'd have to.
You got to get the set so that you can put them into the little sleeves in your media closet.
Buy it to bin it.
Buy it and bin it.
Just burn it outside. Yeah, forget the unboxing videos, Deej. We'll just have a burning video.
There you go.
There goes Midway. Maybe I'm onto something. Burning channel.
Exactly.
But it's really exciting times for
us,
people like us that will hoover this stuff up. And John, 6 months later, you know, they will hoover this stuff up.
Hey, man.
I'm kidding.
I know the value of a dollar.
Yep.
Good man. That's it. It's great news. It's really exciting for us. Although, as I said, I still think physical media and 4K in particular has had a pretty good couple of years. Bearing in mind how niche it is, it's niche of the niche of the niche, you know, 7% of home video buying, you know, it's nothing really, but it's exciting for us. And that's good news. So long may it continue. And as I said, hopefully others will follow suit. So we shall see.
I'll buy Tombstone day one, though. I promise you that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dances with Wolves.
Full price. Yeah. I mean, not so much.
I love that film.
Not as much, but yeah, I enjoy that one. But there's a few that I'd pick up right away.
Okay, so tell me this then very briefly, guys. Would you buy the director's – sorry, would you buy the theatrical version of Tombstone if that's all it was?
Yeah.
I think the director's cut changes
all
that
it
radically.
Was, I mean, I would. Yeah. I still probably would, and then I'd buy the director's cut when it came out again. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, that I've seen the director's cut. What is the Blu-ray? The Blu-ray is just the theatrical cut, right?
I think it's the director's cut.
I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a while because I've been waiting for the 4K.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean,
forever.
I'm pretty sure
I'll have to double check. But really I don't know what's different about it. So
there's 20 odd minutes. There are significant chunks of that were changed. I mean, it's one that I would hesitate to buy if it was just the theatrical. It's got both. I mean, all day long. But I think on its own, I love the movie. Don't get me wrong. But I think I'd want, now having seen the director's cut, I'd only really want that.
Where is that available?
I've got it on Blu-ray. I'm pretty sure
that must be what I have.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'd have to double check. But
I mean, I've owned that on DVD and VHS. Like, I've owned it, and I don't remember it being different. So, I've never seen it. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, we'd get that for sure. But there's so many Fox movies that would just be great to have. I mean, obviously all the Aliens films. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have those. Obviously we've got Prometheus, we've got Covenant, and we've got Alien. but it would be nice to have Aliens and Alien 3 and even Alien Resurrection if you have to. You know, it would be nice to have them. You know, so many good films. The Fox vaults are overflowing, and you know, Disney have got them. I mean, obviously all the Die Hard movies would be nice. Well, again, two and three.
Lethal Weapon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Warner's. Lethal Weapon's Warner's. That's coming. Yeah. That'll come. It's just a case of, I think they're waiting to see if they'll get Lethal Weapon 5 off the ground and then release it with that. But yeah, exactly. There's so many great movies that could still come. And, you know, and nice to see an acknowledgement that physical media is worth having. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. Anyway, sorry, DJ. Again, overtook that one. Sorry.
No problem. No problem. All right. Let's get to coming soon. We'll cook through this. All right. Up first, we have Red Eye coming from, what's that from? What year is that from? 2005. We have Red Eye. Then we have Dragon Slayer from 1981. That's the regular. And then there's also a steelbook to go along with that. We have Babylon from 2022. Which we'll talk about in a little bit. Looking forward to that. There's also a steelbook for that as well that I'll pull up in a minute. But we have Rocky IV, the standalone for that, the steelbook standalone for that. And then we have The Long Wait, which is from 1954. So let me see if I can find the Babylon Steelbook. Babylon Steelbook. Where did it go? Oh, I guess I don't have it in here. I thought I loaded it up. But yeah, there's a nice, that's the Babylon one. But we'll talk about that one later. But those are all coming out on Tuesday, March 21st. So check those out. Any of those interest you guys?
Red Eye is a definite one for me. I'll be buying that. It's out here next week as well. That's a day one for me. I really like that film. That's great. Does look a bit from that picture. I've not seen that cover art. Rather reminds me of Titanic, and something else was going on during that. When Kate Winslet puts her hand on the glass of the car, something else is going on there than what's happening in that picture.
Right.
I was like, where are you going with this?
And yeah, I'm just like, saying.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's a good film. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
I haven't seen that one, but I like Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, Wes Craven. Yeah, it's a you know, a nice kind of real taut thriller.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy that one.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, really well done film. Yeah, I think you'd enjoy that, Deej. It's worth picking up, that one.
Okay. I will check it out. All right. That does it for that. We cooked along with that. That's good. So let's get to this week's Real HT Experience. All right. Removing some from here. Steve, you want to open up with your first one? You're just going to cook along with us, right, John? You don't have anything?
I don't have anything. No. I've seen a couple, right? Yes. I just.
So we'll talk about
nothing
that.
On my projector or in my theater. So.
Okay.
So we'll do The Last of Us then. Might have heard of it. And we've obviously talked about it. And are you up to date, John, by the way?
I've seen it all. Yep.
And I know you have, Deej, because yours is in your notes, isn't it? So, okay. So it's finished. And it finished exactly as the game does, which is really good. Very, very enjoyable. They stuck to the landing, I think. And I had real concerns about the last episode because it was only 45 minutes long. And boy, did they have a lot to cover in that time. Right. But they got through it okay. And interestingly, guys, now, John, you know what's coming next because I know you had it spoiled for you because of Facebook.
I do, yes.
Yeah. DJ, you don't, and I'm not going to spoil it. But suffice to say, what I thought was really interesting, and just very briefly, the action sequence at the end when Joel does what he does, and again, because there'll be lots of people that won't have seen it, and I'm not going to spoil that. But what was very interesting is the somber music playing when this shootout is going on, because that music is telling the audience that this is not a good thing. This is not saving someone. This is the start of darkness and pain.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, this is not a rescue. This is the beginning of bad things to come. And so I thought that was a really interesting thing. The temptation from the makers must have been, let's go all over it. Let's give it, you know, an action beat. Let's have rock music and shooting and blasting and, you know, let's go full Rambo.
Right.
But actually, it's not like that. It's actually very, very somber. And I think that's lovely. And that will, as I say, pay dividends when those that don't know what's coming see what's coming. Because, yeah, this just is setting in train a motion of, putting in train events.
In very, very broad strokes, is there a way that they don't do that?
In what way? What they don't follow the games, you mean?
Well, yeah. Is there a way for what I know is going to happen to not happen and still follow the story?
No.
Is that something that they'll do as what I'm
100%. What happens is the reason for the whole next game. I mean, it's right at the beginning. So they couldn't have the second game without this incident happening. Okay.
Like I said, you know, I know it's broad strokes.
Yeah, no, quite. Yeah.
But, you know, they love to change, like, you know,
TV
shows are notorious for changing things.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much that can't be changed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They couldn't do the second game without this incident that's coming. Okay. They just couldn't do it.
I won't say anything else because I don't
want to. Yeah, I know. But it, and again, I think this music and the way they framed this and shot this thing makes it absolutely stone cold certain that what is going to happen is going to happen. So it's. I thought it was great. And it ends exactly the same as the game. The dialogue at the end is identical.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really good. Really enjoyed it. I can't comment on the home theater stuff because I haven't seen it. I noticed, by the way, Van Gool's put in the chat that, something that I saw earlier today as well. Jordan Carpenter tweeted it out. Something we already know. It's getting a physical release. July looks like 17th of July, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we'll all be picking that up, I'm sure.
Yes.
But the only downside is apparently they're not going to start shooting the second season until the end of this year at the earliest. So we'll be waiting 2 years to see this, which is a long time, you know, in episodic TV. That's quite a long time, isn't it? So,
but 2 years now seems to be the norm as opposed to
really?
Because think about Mandalorian. Yeah. Think about we're watching Carnival Row that was like 3 years between seasons. And you know, we're not going to get Rings of Power for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Okay.
So I think it's becoming, which is unfortunate because I think it's too long, but it seems to be the norm rather than the outlying situation, you know, unless you're Cobra Kai, then you come every 6 months. But
that kind of segues into exactly what I was going to say. I think we'll take the 2 years for the production quality that we're getting, right? These aren't but Cobra Kai is closer to a sitcom,
right?
There's not a lot of production going on. I mean, it's actors. I'm not saying there's no production, but what we love about, you know, The Last of Us, The Mandalorian, Carnival Row, Foundation, all of these shows, or Game of Thrones, they all upped their production quality to cinematic experiences at home. And it takes time to do these things. It takes time and money. So they want to put out a show, and if it does well, okay, we'll get back at it and do another one.
But that's the thing. It goes back to a lack of commitment by the studios to give these things 2 and 3 season orders at the outset. Because you could do this like Lord of the Rings and just never stop filming. You know, you could film 2-3 seasons back to back to back, and we wouldn't have to wait that 2 years between seasons. But you know, all these studios, you know, like look at Stranger Things, which we're not going to get season 5 for another year. I mean, these kids are going to be like parents by the time
maybe season that's what five it'll be.
Comes out, and but yet they're all still high school kids. You know what I'm saying? Like and Netflix had a hit on that after season 1. So why they didn't just film seasons 2, 3, 4, and 5? Like,
I wonder
right
if it's
away,
partially a business decision as well, though. Because then they could say, like, okay, this, they can map out all right, this is coming in 2 years. So they know, okay, subscribers will be like, okay, I got to stick around. And now I know some people go monthly and stuff, but they probably all look at this on a big board that they're looking 5 years ahead, and they can go, okay, this is going to come out here. We get production for this. Because all of these things on all of these streamers, they're all, I mean, we look at the individual show like The Last of Us is in 2 years. But like you said, John, it seems to be the norm. And then when the show comes back on, you're like, oh my God, it's been 2 years already, because we're all watching so much other content that we're like, whereas what happened? What are we saying about Star Wars? Ah, it's too much too fast. You can never make everybody, we can never be happy. Right. You know, it's so funny. It's like, right,
but like I said, I just feel like these studios just are so hesitant to commit to.
Yeah. It's a lot of money. Yeah.
No, it is a lot of money. But like Amazon, right? Like they paid $1 billion to get the Rings of Power. There is no world in which they're not going to make at least 3 seasons of that. So right. Why do we have to wait to, like, they should never stop filming. They should have filmed all three.
I think they did. I think they actually did film those in order. I think what I understand, those that they weren't waiting on that. That one there, I know Foundation, they had three. They
it's
did.
Gonna
they
be 3 years between seasons, I think.
Well, they got another one coming. This it's coming. Foundation's dropping again.
Hasn't it been two years now? Or it's been at least
It's dropping in a late spring or summer. Foundation is coming this year.
Maybe
so
two
it's only.
Years.
Yeah. No, it's been a year. A year and a half. It was last fall. That Foundation was out, not 6 months ago, but like a year and a half. So it'll be almost.
Right. So it'll be 2 years almost by the time it comes back. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about right. But yeah, it flies. It's surprising.
Well, it does because like with HBO, they run one show at a time. It's not like, I mean, they have all kinds of other programming, but like they have one, like Last of Us ended, Succession starts next week. It'll run for 9 weeks. And when it's done, the next big show runs. Like they only run one show at a time that matters. You know, it's not like Netflix where they drop everything all at once.
Yeah.
And then you've got Prime that does crazy. Like I can't figure out how they do what they do. You know, like I'm watching Daisy Jones and the Six. Have you guys started watching this at all?
No.
It's a pretty good show, but they're dropping three episodes a week now instead of two or one. It's like, either give it to me all at once, or don't make me watch 3 hours a week of it. You know what I mean?
They're not making you. You could still pace yourself out.
Like, no, I can't. I can't do that. Because the problem is it's good. And after I got to the end of the third episode, I just wanted the last four. Like, that's all that's left now. You know, I just give me the rest of it. But you're going to get that whole 10-episode show in like 3 weeks. And it doesn't, I don't understand why they're doing that. You know, one show gets one a week. Amazon is like all over the place with their stuff. You know,
Well, let's talk about quickly then while we'll segue right to it.
Yeah. This one's doing two a week
and it's done.
No, it's got one more week. Just 10 episodes.
I thought it was only 8. Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Did you think it was over?
Yeah.
That's it wasn't ended.
That's why I was bringing it up. I was going to ask you. I'm like, it says it's the final season, but they ended it. Like,
just one more.
Oh, awesome. All right. Cool.
I also thought it was only 8 and I thought it was going to be finished this week as well. But then when I got to the end of that episode, I was like, surely that's not the end of the show. And I went and looked and there's one more. Yeah. There's one more week. So.
Yeah,
it finishes up this week.
It's so funny because I'm literally finding this out right now. I did not know that. I didn't look it up. I didn't have time. And I actually, part of me is very slightly disappointed. I thought I had done well. Like to finish it all on time. Same with The Last of Us. Cause I'm like, the weeks are getting very busy here. I got two Carnival Rows. I got a Last of Us. I got a Mandalorian. You know, I am watching the Bad Batch. I'm a little behind on that one, but I'm like trying to keep all these shows. And like, I was like, all right, I finished Last of Us and Carnival Row. And I'm like, oh, my week feels so much lighter. I can watch some movies and stuff too. Maybe.
Man, you got Ted Lasso tomorrow.
Mm. I know. Yeah, but I watch that upstairs with Jen. That's different. I don't go down. I don't have to go.
I mean, that's only 30 minutes once a week. So
right. And that's one of those ones where you're like, you get upset when it's over and you're like, oh, now I got to wait a week for another half hour. Mm.
Shrinking ends on Friday.
I know. That's another one. I love it.
Yeah, that's a great one. Jen and I watched that as well. But yeah, so Carnival Row, again, you're getting it in your...
It looks great. I had the last four episodes, actually, I've watched in my bedroom. So no surround sound or anything, but the picture, it still looks fantastic.
It's amazing. This is one of the reasons that I've been messing with my settings or just checking my settings, making sure I'm getting the most out of the bulb life that I have. And my brights are as bright as they can, because this has all those gradations, and it's just such a well produced, video-wise, well-produced show and that's not to say that the sound isn't. The sound is. It's amazing show. Really enjoying it, and now I'm really excited. I got two more to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. John and I can discuss the finale next week. This was a weird finale for a final
season. And I'll actually have those on I'll be watching them in the theater, you know, with the projector. So
nice. Yeah. Nice. So all right.
You too, but by the way, don't you have like 10 minutes left before your hockey meeting?
I can push it. So that's why I'm just trying to.
Okay.
But we'll make it. Don't worry. We will make it. Let's see. So we did that. Why don't you go with your second one there?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the end of the Rocky set. Rocky versus Drago, Rocky IV, the ultimate director's cut, as I learned that's the title of it. So yeah, this is the end of that set. I haven't watched the theatrical version of Rocky IV in 4K because I didn't have the time. But I have been looking forward to this for ages. Very pleased to report. It was very enjoyable indeed. Do I prefer it to the theatrical one? No, I don't think I do. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating for those of us that know every line, every scene, every bit of the theatrical one. Watching this is absolutely riveting. I enjoyed every second of it. So I think it's great just seeing all these extra little nuances, little subtleties in the Apollo sort of fight earlier in the film, and then the final fight and the extra dialogue and the way in which it's coming out. I thought it was really, really interesting. So it's great to have, and I'm really glad I've seen it, and I'm going to watch it again, in the not too distant future. So well worth seeing, well worth owning. John, I'm talking to you.
Okay. I know. Hey, I almost, it's down to $46 now, so it's already dropped $20.
So it's
$46.
It's at $46 on Amazon. Like, I think $39.95 is my buy, my buy price.
Hovering over the cart. So very, very interesting. And again, if you're a fan of this film, you really need to get this disc, because it's got both on it. Now, in terms of the 4K image quality, is very nice. Really good. I've got no timestamps for this. It's just, it's really, really good. It looks great. The white snow, when they get to Russia, all that stuff looks fantastic. The HDR really, really adds something to that. Again, all the details on the close ups, the beads of sweat, all this stuff looks really, really good. And the music number, I live in America, the James Brown music number has never looked brighter and better than in this. So it's really good. And the Neural X was great as well. So another winner for me on this set. I think this Rocky set is great. And as long as you watch it in the way which I talked about last week, then absolutely get this, enjoy it. You know, don't listen to the people on Twitter that are giving it all this stuff about, oh, it's ruined it. It's the end of the world. It's not the experience I want. It's nonsense.
It isn't the experience. Yeah. This movie, by the end of the movie, you don't feel the same way as you do when you watch the original Rocky IV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right? All kinds of different inflections and different things. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. It's a different tone. I prefer the original. I mean, the original, when you're done, it's a music video and you want to run through a wall, right?
Yeah.
By the end of this one, you don't feel that way at all. It's a complete, it's more political. It's actually more of a film than the original one, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's got a more of a story to it. A couple of those scenes with Apollo they kind of use the same shot twice later in the courtyard there or whatever in his yard. Yeah. But it adds a different, it's very, I want to say subtle, but it's not subtle, but it really is. It should be experienced, especially if you love the first one, and to go through this and knowing what you want to get out of it. And then at the end you go, where did all that hype go? What happened? But it's still a good movie. It's a
movie made by a more mature filmmaker than Stallone was back in the 80s. You know, this is a movie made by someone looking back and trying to change the dynamics of this. You know, I think that's why there's the ratio change as well. That was interesting too. As I said, I think this is him making a film that was not the film he wanted to make back then, but is the film that he would have made now had he shot this today. Right. If that makes sense, that sounds wrong, but it is definitely a more mature movie. There's much more shades of grey, much more dialogue heavy. Well, not much more, but more. Right. There is, you know, Apollo's kind of stuff about the, you know, if you were my friend, you wouldn't stop this, you know, and that kind of stuff. That, so that extra layering of guilt, which was not, you know, always clear in the original one. I thought it was fantastic, and much more humanizing of Drago. Drago is not just a monster in this. Yes. There are, you know, and it doesn't mean there's much more dialogue. There's a bit more dialogue, but just the looks he gives Rocky during the fight, and those, you know, he's much more human in this.
Brennan. What about when he leaves and this wasn't in the original, when he leaves the press conference?
Yeah.
And Drago stands up and is looking at Rocky when they're talking about the Christmas fight, you know, on Christmas Day. And they're like, we're leaving. And he gets up and he was kind of like, his expression and everything, it's from a distance, but his expression, he didn't say anything. It was just all his expression and looking at Rocky like, like, I think he respected him. And, you know, he didn't dismiss him the way everybody else was. And there was so much more to this that it, again, at the end, you're not like, where did that hype go? But it is, it's a different film and it's amazing how they can manipulate you like that, which is that in itself it makes it that interesting. So.
Yeah, you can imagine film students studying these two and writing theses on the differences and the changes and what dramatic impact that has. Yeah, I thought it was great. I'm so glad to have both. You know, it's really, really interesting. Everything I hoped I would get from this, I got. So, yeah, great. Really, really good. Cool. And again, a good home cinema experience as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. What do we want to do next? Let's do Mandalorian. We all saw that.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, why don't you lead us off, because you didn't have as much fun with episode one, and
episode 17,
all thought it was a little slower, but we, you know, how did this one do for you?
This was better. This was better. Yeah, definitely better in terms of the action, in terms of the pacing, in terms of the story. Some very foolish decisions made by Jin Jarin in this. You know, I'm just going to wander into this abandoned city and, you know, where I've already been attacked, and I'm not going to make any precautions. I'm just going to walk right in and let's see what happens. I didn't think that was a bit odd. And that happens again and again, which is a bit strange. But you know, much better. I really enjoyed it. I like some of the creative stuff in this as well. I like the robot. Did he remind you of Grievous, General Grievous? It did me. I was sort of watching it with the arms and the way it was moving, made me think of General Grievous.
Yeah,
and
Joe actually said that.
Yeah, yeah, I wondered whether it was going to turn out that he'd survived and that actually this was, you know, Grievous's little creature left, you know, just the eye. So that was interesting. No, I thought it was good, and I liked how it played out. Again, the story stuff not quite withstanding. It was good, much better, and it looked better too. I liked some of the HDR, and this was really nice. The video was good, the audio was good. Yeah, this was better for me. Yeah,
John.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we talked about it. You and I talked about it last week on the phone.
I'm
more in than I was. I mean, I was always going to watch it, so I can't say I'm all in because I was always going to be all in. But I feel the same way as Steve. Like, I was pretty let down by the first episode, and I actually went back and watched it again before this one because Lydia fell asleep the week before. And so we watched the first episode together. And even after the second viewing, I still wasn't all that pumped up about it. But this episode brought me in quite a bit more. So I'm looking forward to see where it goes. Yeah, and, you know, like Steve said, some questionable decisions notwithstanding. But
yeah.
But yeah, I thought the whole thing was excellent. So
yeah, I agree. Like we said, it's like I'm fine with the story as it is, because I expect that it is going to get better. That's what I said last week. But home theater wise, like the underwater scenes and that, like the picture quality, and like I said, this is the best the Mandalorian has looked picture wise. I mean, the contrast is just fantastic. Getting back to like the conversation I have with Mike Schramm on Tuesday, this is one of the shows that when I first got the Lumigen, I went back and watched the earlier episodes, and while it does improve it, you can still see, like, you know, season one of The Mandalorian just looks a little bit washed out compared to season two and now season three. It's like each one, I feel like the contrast got better. Yeah. And this one's like, it's just like Blu-ray quality. You know, I mean, this is just really, really good. And just really enjoying it, and the sound as well. Again, like we were talking earlier, if this gets a physical release, I mean, how do you not own these things? They're just they're going to be so great. Yeah. You know, I mean, because this one here, like I said, I'm like, it's just a great home theater experience. So if it gets a physical release, you got to buy them. You just got to. So at least I do.
Oh, yeah.
I'll only buy it once, though.
Yeah, you say that.
I think.
Depends on how many different ways they offer it.
True. Right. Yeah. Speaking of that, have you seen that I'm getting the information from listeners. People are forwarding to me. More and more people are talking about speakers in the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's getting some hype. Like, where are we going next? The floor? It's like some people are sending me those every now and then. So it's pretty funny. I'm like, hey, okay. Yeah, it's only 2 years ago I talked about that. It was Tom Andrew and I were talking. The first time I was like, that's the next area we got to go. So... All right. What do we have next? What do you want to do? Your number four there, Steve.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my new thing, because what I'm intending to do is make sure. Cool. That's a new. That's not post a picture I've seen. That's an interesting one. Because what I think I do, I like horror movies that not everybody else likes. And also I've got, because of where we are over here, I've got some below the line movies that not everyone would have heard of. And so this is what I'm trying to sort of look for, movies that are interesting that maybe people haven't seen. And this was the first one that I've been meaning to revisit. So this is The Girl with All the Gifts. Which is a British film from 2016. It is a post-apocalyptic, if there is such a thing. So I suppose it's always apocalyptic, isn't it? There's no such thing as a post-apocalyptic. So it's an apocalyptic
rebuild.
Film. Yeah. Well, yeah. So an apocalyptic film. See if this sounds familiar. A fungus has grown and has taken over and killed a lot of people who have then become zombies. And then this is about the survivors. And this is a
sort should make of, a video game about that.
They should, you know what they should. They absolutely, and then they should turn that into a series.
Yeah, exactly.
So, now, but bear in mind though, this was made and released before the game. So I suppose, you know, who's copying who, but anyway. So very interesting film, British film, quite a low budget movie with Gemma Arterton, Paddy Considine, Glenn Close in it as well. And this follows the movie opens with children in a bunker who are being, taught, but also greatly feared by the adults. And they're very worried and you're not sure why it is that the adults are treating them. They literally will only move them at gunpoint. And yeah, you're not quite sure why that is. And then as the story develops, it becomes apparent. But it's a very, very well done thriller stroke horror. Really good film and well worth seeing. If it's on Netflix over there, watch it, or whatever. If it's on a streaming service, give it a go. Failing that, I would recommend picking it up. It's a really good film. I watched it in Blu-ray, Neuralex, upmixing, surprise, surprise. And it's got a very nice video transfer and a particularly good audio mix. So again, as I said, I'm mixing your Alexa. I do have some timestamps here. We have an attack on the bass where this is all taking place at 25 minutes, where you get lovely pans, you get movement, you get gunshots echoing all around, but you get vehicles that are sort of screaming past. So you get pans from left to right. You've got all kinds of distant echoes as the gunfire is rattling around, as well as the noises of these creatures and everything else. So that's very nice. At 1 hour bang on, you also get it what I've titled the dog diversion. So where they're using a dog to basically, cause these creatures, as I'll call them, to chase the dog so they can get away. And what happens is the dog runs around the side of a building, comes past the camera, and then all of these creatures are pursuing. And so they come round and then go right to the back of the room as well. So you get this lovely movement of sound from front to back as they run past, which is really good. And then lastly, at 1 hour and 24, I've titled this, You Need It More Than I Do, where a character is set upon in a grocery store. That's obviously it's all smashed up, and he's set upon by these creatures. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but what is very cool about this is that the soldier falls to the floor, is on his back looking up, and these creatures are on top of the shelves, and you hear them, that the noise come from floor level to the side walls and then up into the speakers above your listening position. And so you can hear them above you as he's on his back looking up. And it's a really clever sound effect, which would only be done by the Neural X, only pushing it up into the upper speakers. So it's really, really nice and adds some sort of, adds to the enjoyment of the film. So yeah, I really recommend this. This is well worth seeing. And again, probably a film many people won't have heard of. I don't suppose either of you guys have seen it or heard
Never
of it.
No,
or
heard of it. No.
It is well Never worth seeing. And something that, you know, you'd be discussing for a while afterwards in terms of, again, what would you do? But the treatment of these kids, you know, it's very, very interesting. And it does not have a Hollywood ending by any means. The ending's very unusual. So well worth digging out. It's one for you, John, I think, if not for you, Deeds.
It's available on, you can get it on Amazon right now for $14.99.
Okay, well,
buy it new, $14.99.
Yep.
Or maybe, I'm sorry, new from $14.54, $14.54, okay. But $14.99, and that's, Lionsgate Films. It's been out here since 2017. On Blu-ray.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, it's well worth seeing. It's one of those films people may not have heard of, but it's good. It's really good. And especially if you finished House of the Dragon and you want to see more Paddy Considine, who I've met by the way, and he's a very nice guy. And so if you want more Paddy Considine, or you finish The Last of Us and you want some more fungal, creature movies, then this is for you.
Fungal fun. Fungal fun. There you go.
Fun with spores, molds and fungus. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Sounds like fun. All right. All righty. Let's see. What do I want to do here? I'm going to skip a couple of the ones that, they're repeats anyways, but let's do this one because this will be quick because I don't think a lot of people, neither of you have seen Babylon yet, right?
Not yet.
No, I've heard not good things.
Same.
Really? What did you hear? Yeah. Steve, what did you hear?
That it's overwrought, that it's too long, and that it's rubbish.
Oh my God.
That's what I'd heard.
Yeah. It's. I mean,
I love the cast, but I heard. Oh my God. Yeah. I heard bad things.
It is long, but by the end of it, if you love like the history of movies or even the idea of it, the ending to this, I was just like, I got chills. I was like, it was awesome. It's over the top. It is everything that you would, that's why it's Babylon, right? It's everything is extravagant. Everything is over the top. It is adult. I'm surprised it's rated R. I mean, a lot of they go like, this is opening type scene, not as soon as the cameras roll is it this, but it's like literally 2 minutes in and it's like a scene out of Caligula. But like what you're seeing on the screen right now, what you've seen in the commercials and all the trailers and stuff, that's kind of the opening scene. It's just everything's over the top. but then it's the story of acting and movie making and behind the scenes and stuff. Now, the home theater experience, absolutely amazing. It blew me away, the HDR, because what they utilize here is, so like when they're shooting a scene and that you're supposed to be behind the scenes, this takes place in the 1920s, and they're shooting a scene and everything is vibrant and everything is like just, you know, larger than life, the colors and everything. And then they'll go and cut and everything gets washed out. Like your screen just goes, they're like, now you're just looking and it looks normal. But there's one particular scene, probably 15 minutes into the movie, where they come, you come into the set, which is out in like the desert area. And there's a bunch of sets going on and you see how they film movies, or their portrayal of filming movies in the 1920s. The sets were vibrant. Like, so you're, but you could still see the background of like the desert type area, and that's washed out. You got to see it to understand what I'm talking about. It's amazing. The music in this is absolutely amazing. It's like the horns, a lot of horn music, the jazz music type, but there's the horns, the drums, the all around you. It's awesome. I was like engrossed the entire 3 hours just sitting there for the home theater part. Then you get into the movie making part and then what it's like to be an actor, what it's like for these characters, what's going on. There's a great scene with Brad Pitt and I forget the woman's name. She's on your screen right now. She's all the way to the right there. What's her name?
Oh, sorry. Not Margot Robbie. Sorry.
Not Margot Robbie. Smart. Oh, is that, that's Jean Smart there? Okay. She has this, she summarizes everything for Brad Pitt's character in this. And it's an awesome, awesome scene. And then you get to the ending and everything just like gets summarized for you. And it's like, that's when I got the chills. It was just, I had a lot of fun with this, but it's long, it's over the top, it's crazy at times, but I really enjoyed it. And home theater wise, I feel like picture and sound wise, this has got, it's almost a must own. It's that good to me. I had a blast with it. So, but I know a lot of people haven't seen it. It's just out. But I recommend it for picture alone. But then you add the sound in there too. It's fantastic. So
I saw a shot on Twitter of from it where someone's walking along the side of a whatever you call it, you know, a studio thing, a backlot. And as they're walking along, in the background there is a billboard for House of the Dragon.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's through awesome. The trees. There's that's a tiny awesome. Little billboard.
Yeah. That's hysterical. Probably. You got to see some stuff in here. It's pretty good. I bet you I know that scene too. I think it's great. I thought I had a blast with it. So if you get to see it, let me know.
Okay.
What you think. All right. What do you want to go with?
Well, shall I skip to number six? Deej, because five is only a screener anyway, and it's let's not much do, to no, say
let's,
about it.
Let's wrap up. I was going to wrap up with that one.
Yeah. So okay. We'll so do, you want to do five?
Yeah. Do your number five.
Okay. There we go. So nice and quickly then. So Scream 6, which I saw on a screener this week. It came out in the cinemas here last weekend.
Perfect.
But I've heard. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that was quick, wasn't it? No, it's a. I'm a big Scream fan, as you guys will know. Really like Scream 1, really like Scream 2, Scream 3 and 4. Yeah. 5 is we really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I know you're holding it for Halloween, aren't you, Deej? Scream 5. And then 6 is it's more like 3 and 4 for me. Unfortunately, they take it to New York, which promises, you know, all sorts of delights. Unfortunately, it goes there and then it just kind of it's not that exciting, and it could have been filmed anywhere really. It just wraps itself up in knots with ridiculous ridiculous plot points after another. And it just gets silly. You know, people get stabbed and then the next minute they are fine and they've been repeatedly stabbed and virtually disemboweled. And yet the next scene, they're okay and walking around and running around. It's not great. I will get the 4K disc when it comes out because I want to try it again and see if it's any good. And see if I like it more the second time, which I might do, but first time around, not great for me, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So there we go. But never mind. Never mind.
All righty. All right. All right. Let's wrap up with this, your last one, which I also took in. I've had it for a while. I watched it before. I saw you throw it in your notes and I had some time. Mm. So I watched it yet again and I added to your notes as well. So let's go with that. I've got like literally 7 minutes. So.
Okay. Right. Let's do this. Do you want to do your bit first? Do you want me to do it?
No, just start, just okay, the core. Right, so, let's just go on disc in 4K with DTS Master Audio, and I saw it on Kaleidoscape in 4K HDR with DTS Master Audio.
Okay. Now, I thought I'd seen this film, and you know, if you'd asked me last week, I'd have said I've definitely seen it, but looks like I haven't, because I didn't know anything about this.
Really?
So I bought it. Yeah. I was convinced I'd seen it, but no, I haven't seen it, as it turned out, as I started to watch.
You saw it, right, John?
I think I did.
But in the past, yeah.
Maybe I
yeah, where they go to the center of the earth instead, you know, it's the Armageddon, but they go the other direction.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about it, but
2003,
I
believe.
Yeah. Well, but so this was definitely my first watch of it, and I had a great time with it. I really enjoyed it. You've absolutely got to leave your brain at the door. And this is not so much science fiction
as not Moonfall,
science,
but yeah.
Science? What science? I've read on the IMDb afterwards that this is shown to, people at like Caltech and MIT and stuff. And the students are asked, right, how many things wrong with this can you find?
Oh, yeah.
So it's completely nonsense, but it's really good fun. And I did enjoy it. I was never less than entertained throughout. Yeah. It's really good. Now in terms of the home cinema experience, because obviously I know we're pushed for time a bit. I thought the disc, and obviously I'm only talking about the disc, was very good indeed, and especially for a catalog release. You know, 2003, you know, it's fine. The only problem is the effects are rubbish.
Yeah.
And it really does show the effects. The model work's not good and all that
stuff. But it's not as bad as the ending from Air Force One.
Air Force One, yeah.
It's not as bad as that, which I was pleasantly surprised. But it's like you could see the evolution a little bit, like, okay, that's better. So when we saw this in 2003, we were like, whoa, that was so realistic. But compared to today, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. The model work and the Roma tank thing is not good. It looks exactly what it is, which is a model and badly composited. I was really entertained. I really enjoyed it. So in terms of the video is really, really nice.
It is
sharp. Every pockmark and pore on the skin is on the actors is clear. There's some lovely detail in the background. Delroy Lindo's kind of building is made of corrugated iron, and you get these lovely sharp lines.
Yep.
There's no moiring. There's no kind of fitting on those. It's sharp as anything. It looks great. And inside the ship
thing, yep,
looks like a giant marital aid. But inside the ship, you've got the consoles and that all lit up and all look great. So I thought video wise, it's really good. And again, I appreciate it's a cliche. The only thing better than the video was the audio, which I thought was really, really nice as well.
That's a nice segue right there. Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, of course.
Look on the bright side. At least we're not going to boil to death.
You always look on the bright side?
Always.
I got that.
How do you not? Yes. I mean, come on, people. Come on. That's from the core.
So, it goes right to the core.
Exactly. So out of that, I made.
We're on the bright side.
We can play that sounder whenever we want. And we're like,
always.
With John's face.
John's like, oh, yeah. And then we have Hillary. Oh, it's still playing. But yeah, so I made all of those. I'm like, I saw that in the movie. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to clip that.
So I've got a few timestamps on it, just to get some things, which, so within the first 3 minutes, We get a nice bass rumble with this at the start where you kind of get a kind of an earthquake type thing. And that's actually not bad. It's not room rearranging, but it is, it is fairly impactful. You feel it. You can tell it's there. So that was good. We then get some, so we get some bass rumbles. We get some pans where we've got vehicles out in the street moving. There's an ambulance that comes right
To go along with the podcast, there's also a clock ticking too, much like Maverick. Clock ticking on the left side of the room, which is pretty cool. I saw that. I heard that at the beginning of the movie too. It was like,
it's clock. And I like the echoes in the lecture theater as well. You can hear the echoes around the lecture theater. So that's all in the first 3 minutes. So that already bodes well. You're thinking, oh, okay, nice. This is going to be something special. And at 52 minutes, then jumping forward a bit, sorry, 8 minutes, sorry, Trafalgar Square, which is where you've got the pigeon attack. Well, pigeon and fish attack. So I understand. There is a there's a random fish in there somewhere, apparently. I didn't see it, but I read about it either. And I was told about it on Twitter. And so you get then the birds flying around the room, and they go up and they go over and they come, they go all around. That's something that the Neural X really brings to life. And then of course you get the crashing buses and you get the, you know, the screams and all that stuff. So I think that's a really nice sequence. At 52 minutes, then you get the launch. So that's the launch of the giant Maritalade. And that goes under into the water, and you get then the movement, you get the whale song and all that stuff. And then of course, once they go into it, you get all the nice sort of noises and rumbles with that, which I thought was great. And then at 53 minutes, we have Stanley Tucci, apparently.
Yes.
Tell me about that, Deej.
So that is, it's right after the launch, and Stanley Tucci, he, if you remember, he talks into his recorder like this at times, and he's like, so they show him at the launch and he's talking like documenting it to himself, but it pans off to the right because the camera goes on him and pans down to the left because it's going down everybody in the ship. The reason I made note of it is it's cool because it pans to the right, but this isn't true Atmos. It isn't true object based. And had it been, I think his pan would have gone up to the right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like he actually goes up above the right where your right speaker would be. It goes up to the corner, and where he would be is right where my overhead is. But because we're up mixing this to Neural X doesn't know that's where he is. It's just up mixing it. It's panning it correctly the way it was made off to the right side. And in 2003, that was a big deal. But now, if you put this in an object base, that would actually pan up above the screen the way it should have. And I just thought it was pretty cool. Like, you know, a little bit, that was something that could be improved someday. So.
It was very cool. And then at 1:30, so 1:30, you've got the San Francisco, attack, which is really nice as well. Again, you get the booms, you get the movement of the audio. It's really, really nice. And then lastly, then 1:55, you then get the explosions where the various things go off, and that had real heft to it. So I thought that was really, really good. And I was very pleasantly surprised at the audio and video from this. It's a Paramount catalog title that they could have just dumped on 4K, and we'd have all been like, well, it's nice to own it. And that would have been that. We'd have all been quite happy. But I think this is actually a very nice catalog release. Really good video, really nice audio, and well worth picking up, I would say. Sorry, I know the time's getting away from us, Deej. So it's really, really good. And I recommend this. I really do too.
I enjoyed it. I've owned it multiple times in different formats. I bought this a while ago on Kaleidoscape, and they had it in 4K. I don't know why. It was on my wish list a while ago anyways. But yeah, I saw you throw it on yesterday. I think you put it on your notes and I was like, oh yeah, definitely. I enjoy this movie. I think it's one of the better of the, you know, end of the world movies. And yeah, of course there's science problems, always is with these things. It's like, but yeah, so all right. Highly recommend that as well.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, boys. I've got 30 seconds to get to my next meeting.
All right. Next meeting.
I have to, and I'm hosting So there's people sitting there waiting like, where's DJ? Like, I got to get in there. So, thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching all of that fun stuff. What do we got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
There we go.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Yeah, bye guys.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.